people. This is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVonta. Up for a day. It's another day of broadcasting
for us. Fine day at that.
Yes. And we want to thank everybody at the United Center who last night, it turned into a very large celebration last night, even though the Hawks ended up losing in overtime.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. And Connor Murphy, who was scheduled to be on the program today.
Is he okay?
He is not going to be on the program.
Because he's...
injured.
He's injured.
Lower body.
Yeah.
Lower body.
I said, well, they talked with his upper body. He could come on. They're like, no. No, you're just going to make fun of him.
Oh.
It appears to be groinal again, right?
Isn't another groin injury.
Is that what we were talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. But, it was quite an evening. It was an evening that was, I want to thank PPG Paints there last night. Mazda was in the, was up with us last night. And
they were. Great guys.
And all of the folks who, Jim Kohler especially, who is the general manager of the United Center, been the general manager of the United Center since the United Center became the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be leaving his post fairly soon. And when he does that, as he's retiring, he gave us quite a send-off last night. I ended up in the Hawks locker room with Lauren Lapkin, her friend.
It was so cool.
And they were trying to, they wanted to throw themselves on the Blackhawks' head, which
is
in the locker room.
don't even act like I don't know the rule.
You know what was so funny about that was that you walk in, it's a hockey locker room, and all the stuff is up in the lockers, all the pads and everything.
Right.
And they've got fans on them to make sure that it doesn't smell like the back of your SUV. If you're a hockey mom or a hockey dad, hockey family, you know that smell.
Oh, you know that smell.
And you walk in, there's a faint sense of that smell, but it's, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
How's the ventilation in there? Pretty good.
Oh, it's great.
This is the best smelling hockey locker room I've ever experienced.
Oh.
We don't want to ask any more questions than that.
No.
But we want to thank them. We want to thank it is the most amazing job that is done every night. The orchestration to make that stadium come alive, whether it's for the Blackhawks, Bulls, a concert, whatever it happens to be, whatever they are doing, it is like a perfectly tuned symphony.
It is.
To get that
There's
thing
no
up
question.
And going.
And that new scoreboard is outrageous. I just found myself mesmerized by it just to see game.
I was distracted by it. You couldn't watch the game for looking at the scoreboard.
It's like, it's so cool. Look at all those different monitors underneath on the sides. There's this drop-down part. There's just a ton of data. But you see all those fun things that they do in the crowds, whether it's the look-alike game or the kiss cam or whatever. It's just huge. It's like right in front of your face. It's so cool. Great experience.
It's awkward when Kevin and I were on the kiss cam. I thought that was weird when they showed the two of us. I'm like, hey,
well,
no,
give them a kiss. You love each other.
No.
I also like when they show a couple that clearly shouldn't be together.
So great. What are you like? Wait a minute. Okay. Now they just are happening to sit together, or they're not supposed to be together. It's like you start telling yourself the story of why they're not kissing.
They sometimes look at each other like, oh my god. Because what they're doing is they're encouraging an assault, is basically what is happening.
Oh, what if you go with your friend who happens to be a guy? I mean, I don't know. I just don't know how they figure this out.
It's always the look on the girl's face that makes it, because they kind of do like that perfect line, like, ooh, oh, God. And the guy's like, well, maybe.
Right? He's
like, I don't know. You never know.
Or the terror on the guy's face because he's with a girl that's not his girlfriend.
Is this on the TV, too? Oh, no.
Oh, jeez. Kiss cam out me.
that's how it sounds at a hockey game. That's a little different than the kiss cam in the basketball game. But you know what I mean? It's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
All right. I just want to thank all the people that helped us with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
it was
really
a great night
great
out
night.
For Lauren's birthday, and everyone got home okay.
And so. Chef Mike sent something up for her, too. It was very nice.
Giant, beautiful rainbow cake. I was amazed.
Did you
see that?
It was like seven layers. That rainbow cake that they serve at different places throughout the stadium is the best cake. I put that right number two behind the chocolate cake at Portillo's. And let me just say, if you ever have an opportunity to see that, sometimes it's sold in the concourse, and other times you see it, if you go to a restaurant at the United Center, you can get it. It is so good. But I'm going to say that it's not a political statement. It is not. It is. It, if you want it to be a political statement, it could be a political statement, but it is not. It is just a rainbow cake.
It's just a work of art.
Right. Because that, because the, that county commissioner from Sevier, Tennessee called me and he was very upset about the cake. Oh, yeah, we're not going to have one of them cakes, too. Next thing you know, we're going to be elected Pete Buttigieg as president, and we're going to have buggery in the White House. If you did not follow that, look that up on YouTube. The Pete Buttigieg, Tennessee County Commissioner. Woo! Woo!
Hello.
All right.
Beautiful cake.
Yes, I don't know how I brought the cake into that, but I did. All right, Ben Bradley's going to join us from the WGN-TV newsroom, and then Alderman Riley will be here. Brendan Riley will be in the studio to explain what just happened in the city of Chicago and what it's going to cost you, potentially, if you live in the city of Chicago, or even if you work in the city of Chicago, or if you know somebody who has ever even been to the city of Chicago, if you've seen the city of Chicago on television, if they might tax you for that. We will tell you all about it, but first, let's check the roadways, Lauren Lapka.
And then there's this. Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
Ben Bradley is in the WGN-TV newsroom right now.
So we don't have an official strike update, but I can tell you that a source just passed on to me information that the Chicago Teachers Union is offering a training class in civil disobedience tomorrow. So
oh,
I assume that means they won't be in class.
Of course, in civil disobedience.
They're communists here. Huh? What are we going to do about this? First of all, I'd like to raise my hand here. I had very important business downtown today.
Yes. You couldn't get to the Mercedes dealer or what? I had to see my bookie. Right. I had to see my hair guy.
He had a swanky
lunch. I had to get my eyebrows done.
That's all north of the river. I would have been fine.
Oh, okay.
I had to be south of the river today for a very important appointment at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it was you couldn't get here. I'd like to point something out. I want to point something out to the city fathers. If we're going to have...
I believe it's a city mother now, Mayor Lightfoot, but go ahead.
To the city, parents, whatever the hell they are. If you're going to have protesting, this, and it's very organized. I mean, they're teachers. They're smart.
Mm-hmm. The line is very straight and orderly, alphabetical.
True. Disciplined.
Lauren already ran that entire piece of comedy past us last week.
Catch up, Ben.
Yeah. So they've got a lot. They got it. They got it figured out. How to have maximum pressure. Because, teachers know that, too. They know maximum pressure. They know how to make you feel bad in class. So that's what they're doing. So they're maximum pressure. And then while that's happening, Ben Bradley, the city of Chicago are raising the bridges across the Chicago River. They're going up and down and up and down so rich people can get their sailboats out before it freezes. Hey, listen, it's not going to freeze for a while. You don't have to, when you're already closing downtown, don't be raising the bridges.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Today is not the day to take your $1 million sailboat past the striking teachers.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Bad optics, I guess they would say.
Yes.
But they were out in force today, that is for sure. You saw them right before the budget address, and then it continued to several places. What, four different locations downtown throughout the day today? It seemed like the most numbers so far. Is that about right?
It was a big crowd, and I also noticed Jesse Sharkey had a new prop. There was a guy dressed up as a shark standing up next to him.
Oh, God.
We're now, is that the stage in this when we've jumped the shark?
Yeah, good one.
Oh.
The signs are even getting a little more brutal. Did you see, Doug was watching WGN-TV at noon today.
Hit the bell.
Somebody holding the sign up next to your reporter who was out there. And it was something about, you said you're not Rom, but you are. Like, it aimed at the mayor, one of those.
Burn! That's a sick burn!
But it was, it's a little more, angry. It was right there in the front there. He's making sure it got seen as part of the live report.
In fairness, if Rahm had still been in office, he would have raised all the bridges surrounding the loop before the protesters had a chance to get into the loop to demonstrate.
Yeah, that would have been a good move.
Definite difference in tactics there.
Mm-hmm. Good move.
Can I tell you about a story we've got coming up tonight on the news at 9 o'clock?
All right.
Let's hear it.
So, state senator by the name of Martin Sandoval.
Oh, yeah.
You may have heard of him or read about him in FBI search warrants, currently feeling the federal heat. He's also feeling the heat of WGN Investigates. We've been looking into his side gig. He runs a company called Puentes, Inc., which is a consulting business.
All right.
And Senator Sandoval provides consulting services for a number of suburbs, including some in his own district. So picture this. For example, he represents the town of Cicero in the state Senate. He also has a contract with Cicero to consult for them, to do things like translate and communicate issues for Spanish language media.
Hmm.
Also, how to represent infrastructure projects, etc. Guess how much the town of Cicero has paid its elected state senator over the last decade or so.
I know the answer because I read your script, even though you tell me that I never read your emails. I do.
Let's hear it, Anna.
$550,000.
$550,000. So it's legal, apparently, because, these are part-time jobs. They're allowed to have a side gig. But boy, isn't that interesting that politicians would charge a town they represent to consult, to be a consultant on how to, who knows, get a bigger slice of the taxpayer's pie.
Media outreach. But the part of it that was fascinating, too, from your report, the no-bid part. That's always sort of the little bit of a tip-off to a reporter or anybody looking into these kinds of things. Why wouldn't you bid out such a lucrative contract?
And some of these contracts that he has with different suburbs are a little short on documentation in the form of work product, and also short on documentation on what is expected for these monthly payments. In fact, in one town, the only thing that was turned over to us as an example of a record it has pertaining to the contract was a monthly invoice.
One day, I keep thinking about maybe Senator Sandoval, or President Sandoval. I want something to be big for you one day, Martin.
This is the... first of all, I don't even know where to begin on this. These kinds of stories have been in the Chicago area forever and ever and ever, right? These are these contracts that go out to people where they make a lot of... They like make a lot of dough for very little provable work. That has been.
Or they jump from elected office to lobbying
and back and forth.
Yep.
And they lobby themselves, and it does seem like self-dealing. It seems like a conflict of interest. But what I think a lot of people I would like people to all get on the same page. This is not just because these are Democrats, or just because these are Republicans. You know, the Democrats get mad at the Republicans who are doing it in Washington, and the Republicans get mad at the Democrats who are doing it here. It's wrong everywhere. Because this is our go. We pay for this. Did you see? We're about to hear from Alderman Riley about how much we're going to have to pay for this.
Yep.
We got to stop this. Right. I mean, there's just got to be a moment where we go, wrong is wrong. And it does appear that these kinds of conflicts of interest should not be, even if legal, in the state of Illinois, because who writes these laws in the state of Illinois? Those crooks down in Springfield. And I'm saying that not like a talk show's got everybody's a crook, all the politicians are crooks. No, the Illinois politicians really are crooks. That's the difference.
The difference is it appears we finally have an FBI investigation that's rooting out some of it, because at the pace things are going right now, we've got at least three suburbs in the crosshairs, a state senator, we've got ComEd, the largest utility in Illinois. This is going to be an interesting investigation. Our reporting just a piece of it, but to your point, Ro, right, this is our money.
Right.
If you live in Cicero, a community that desperately needs, more financial help.
Mm-hmm. $500,000 goes out the window.
You're spending $500,000 to pay your state senator to help you, which he should be doing because he's your state senator.
Well, it's fascinating you're going doing a report on Martin Sandoval as well, because if you look at the search warrant, the FBI search warrant, and the names that are named within that search warrant, it is a trip across the clout landscape of the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, and the county of Cook. And there are a number of names mentioned within there that you wonder what comes next. What's the next shoe to drop?
And in this town, political affiliation matters less than proximity to power.
Right.
There are a lot of Republicans in Illinois who are pretty darn cozy with House Speaker Mike Madigan and the Democrats who write the laws in this state.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity. I think John Cass called it the combine.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Okay, so I just want, just can we just promise, can we just all get along for one day? I'd like to, a root out corruption day is what I would like to,
I think
like
that
to
was yesterday. I think we missed it.
Because it's
February 30th is Root Out Corruption Day in the state of Illinois. Let's get
wait
a proclamation.
Wait a minute, I missed it.
Hold on. Hold on, wait a second.
How come we didn't celebrate?
Hey, wait, what happened on my calendar?
You didn't accept the invite?
Yeah.
It's your e-vite. It went to your spam.
And the nice part is that neither Ben nor I will be able to drive through Cicero now ever again.
Well, I've had to avoid Cicero for a couple of months since my last story.
Yeah. I've got a couple suburbs, too, that are on my list.
Yeah. So. All right, so we'll have that full report tonight on the WGN News at 9 o'clock.
That's very exciting, Ben. Thank you very much. Thank you. And if we could, if somehow we could find a way to get, could you do a little something on your little news, on your little TV show at 4 o'clock?
Yep.
Could you just look into the camera? And I want you to do the, you know, the full network. You're mad as hell. You're not going to take any more about the bridges going up on the river. I want that. I want
now, do you want it from the perspective of, I couldn't get my million-dollar luxury yacht out? Or do you want it from the perspective of, Ro can't make it to his waxing appointment?
I had, it was not, that waxing is also north of the river. That was not my problem, Ben.
Got it.
You know, I got medical issues.
Oh.
As far as you know.
Take some penicillin. Call me in the morning.
All right, thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Bye. All right. I think Ben just, I believe I could sue Ben for what he just said. He's accusing me
that
of having some sort of a bacterial infection.
I thought you just might need fluids today. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, those two. I may still be inebriated from last night. I just want to let you know that. All right, let's talk now to Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News. It's 3:30. Okay, here's our moment right here. We get to find out exactly what in the hell just happened in the city of Chicago.
We promoted it as you get scared a week before Halloween when you look at the city budget, but it didn't seem as scary as I thought today. It seemed like there were some reasonable things, and I guess it's just the devil's in the details now trying to sort through it all.
Alderman Brendan Riley is with us. He is the president pro tem of the city council. That's a very, very, very impressive sounding title. All right, so we did learn something very cool today. Well, good, I would say. That there is a bit of a TIF overrun or something. We got a little more TIF money than we thought we were going to get.
Largest in Chicago history.
Yeah, it's a massive surplusing of TIFs. I think in the mayor's budget remarks, she actually undercut the amount by quite a bit.
Oh.
And it actually means more of a windfall to the Chicago public schools.
So the TIF money is, so these tax increment
Finance districts.
So, in other words, you give tax breaks to developers to build in these places, right?
More or less. I mean, really, what you do is you capture all the tax increment, all the tax revenue that's generated by these new construction, these new properties, and you hold it within the boundaries of this district that is drawn. The idea meaning that tax increment that would otherwise go to the public schools or the city is used to fund infrastructure projects that serve that boundary. And in blighted areas, which is what TIF is really intended to serve, it's a really powerful economic development tool. The problem that Chicago has is we've got 150-plus TIF districts. We've TIFed almost the entire city, which is diverting tremendous amounts, billions of dollars in tax increment away from the schools and from the city, which puts a lot more pressure on the property tax for residents.
But that pays for other stuff, though.
It does. It pays It pays for a lot of infrastructure.
So
but, you know,
paving,
over the years,
we're putting a sewer in somewhere.
Or, you know, in past administrations, it meant having money to build an ally in the city council, a community center, or a
park
facility.
What the? What? Hey!
Well, that's been the concern. The mayor has such control over these TIF funds that they weren't, and there was such a lack of transparency around them that led to some abuses, I'm going to say. And this is what this mayor pledges to not do about that. I know that the teachers are making the argument that the TIF money is being given to Lincoln Yards, and it's not like there's a pile of money sitting around that they divert over there. This is money that, as they build up those residential houses, that property tax money then goes to that district to help with the building of those bridges and the street repavement and the resurfacing and the toxic waste site that it is right now. They're going to get in the environmental and dig it up and that kind of thing. They're going to create that money by building those houses, and then that
money eventually goes to it. There's just an issue there with the way that gets tossed around.
That was a perfect explanation of how it works. Basically, the money comes towards the end of the project being delivered. That's when the real estate value's been established, and that's when the most increment is generated. So you're absolutely right. There isn't hidden TIF money sitting in the corner. You need the development to be successful first.
Okay.
Now, I think the Lincoln Yards TIF was way overly generous, and that's why I voted against it.
Yeah. Okay. Without getting too caught in that. Sure. So we have some of that. We have
substantial amount of money being released back to those taxing bodies.
Okay. Yeah. So now what's going to happen here at the end of, let's say, this strike with the teachers? I mean, do you have a sense of what that bill is really going to look like?
No, I don't, because I'm not a party to the closed door negotiations going on between the administration and the teachers union.
And that comes right out of the property taxes, right? Isn't that the statutory reality there?
Yes, it does. I mean, that's essentially what is funding CPS. What we don't get from the state, we're getting from the property tax there. Half your property tax bill, if you live in the city of Chicago, goes to the Chicago Public Schools today.
So if they add another billion, couple billion dollars, whatever this is going to be, because those are the numbers. Everything's with a B. Yeah. I hate it when it's with a B. Yeah. It's being floated.
A lot of zeros.
Yeah. We're going to see that in our next property tax bill, potentially, or two away?
Yeah, you'd see it probably at least in two bills. But I think it's important to remember CPS budgets separate and distinctly from the city of Chicago. And so people assume aldermen are part of the negotiations and in on all the back and forth.
The
mayor's
the only person that's involved.
It's the mayor and her bargaining team, and that's it. And it's probably a good thing to keep aldermen out of the bargaining room.
You think?
I know. But as a result of that, because all these things are pretty fast moving, we're not in on the joke the whole way through. We have to depend on routine updates.
So the budget relies on $500 million in savings, $350 million in new revenue. I think we should talk about both those things, because there's some new revenue that's going to affect people in their daily lives, and then the savings overall. You say you're in agreement with this because it's taking some of those positions that are not filled right now and saying, okay, we're going to eliminate those. Doesn't hurt that many people when you start from that point.
I think that the mayor and her budget team have applied some really sound budgeting principles that I haven't seen my 12 years as alderman. And when it comes to the cost savings and efficiencies, it's worth noting that in her budget balancing exercise, 64% of that occurs on the spending side of the ledger, which is, I think, unprecedented, at least since I've been here.
Wait, who sent her? What's going on there? Where are we getting the cuts?
So for years, we've been carrying over thousands of funded vacancies in our city bureaucracy, and we're eliminating a lot of those funded vacancies, which is good.
Where was that money going?
It was going to the departments, kind of being held as if, in the event they happen to fill these vacancies. In fairness to the departments, it takes a while to fill a vacancy. But in some cases, these have gone unfilled for a long time. We need to take that money back, put that into the general fund, and not have these being accounted to departments. And so a significant savings is occurring there. That's good budgeting. They also employed the practice of zero-based budgeting, where you literally start from zero in departments and divisions at the city. That way, you're not just tinkering in the margins by a few percentage points here or there. It forces you to kind of take a holistic review of how the department operates. What does this guy do?
Like business does with a P&L sheet.
Absolutely. And that, Mayor Emanuel started doing it with commodities, which is great. But Mayor Lightfoot has expanded that. We still have a long way to go on zero-based budgeting. But she's doing it more than any of her predecessors have before.
So, because I think as taxpayers, and especially people who may not understand a lot about looking at a spreadsheet, like myself, I would just feel like we're getting hocus-pocus, right? I feel like there is a lot of waste, there is mismanagement, and there's covering of those items in the budget.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's how governmental entities do budgeting. They always try and pad that departmental budget so they have flexibility, which when times are good and government is flush, maybe you can get away with a little bit of that. But that's been standard operating procedure in the city of Chicago since the city of Chicago has existed, and that's not good accounting. So I think it's really smart that the mayor is wiping that stuff out. In the future, if a department wants to add positions, justify the addition of those positions to the city council, and maybe we'll budget for that. Another big piece is refinancing our debt. We have super competitive rates right now, and we can automatically get
every other commercial on this station is telling me that, so I know.
Take advantage of those low interest rates.
Well, it applies to government too. Yeah. And so it's a you know
we get
so,
Team Hochberg on this. We're gonna refinance this whole damn thing.
You know with the $200 million we're gonna get from the refinancing of debt, that's a one time. Hit right. We can't refinance our debt and get $200 million every year, but it does.
But haven't we been doing that? Isn't that been a little bit of the kicking of this can?
No, that's a scoop and toss, and that is different. This really is take. It's literally like get refinancing your mortgage. You're going and you're grabbing a better rate. And so no, the
mayor. Does Lori Lightfoot have to go to a closing and which they had a piece of right now on this? Now what you're signing here?
Totally. I want her to look at my budget and see if she can find $300 million extra bucks. Just look around. I don't know.
But look, again, though, in fairness, that's a one-time fix, and we're going to have to replace that revenue next year. The hope is it buys us some time with the legislature to try and get some improvements to the casino bill, perhaps down the road to the cannabis bill, to improve the city's revenue opportunities.
Sounds to me like this actually turned out to be a much better experience than we thought it was going to be.
I was worried.
I was looking to, you know, pull my parachute out, jumping off the cliff.
Because there's no property tax increases at this time today. Reliant upon what Springfield does.
And that's a gigantic if. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an election year. We've got a lot of hot primaries coming up right around the corner. And to go down to Springfield in the fall veto session and ask for lots of relief for Chicago, that's a tall ask.
Yeah.
I'm certainly going to help and do my best to assist the mayor with that. Mm-hmm. But if you're a betting person, not great odds. But the spring session, maybe, after the primaries.
Right. Because you also have some of those folks that are getting primaried downstate.
Yeah.
That are part of the...
Who's more conservative?
Leave Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, those or toss Chicago out or whatever that movement is. And I invite them to do it.
Yeah.
I invite them to say, I would like them to do it because then, you know, it'd be North Illinois and South Illinois or whatever. I want to change the name. I never liked the name Illinois anyway. So I got some ideas about renaming our part of the state.
You could do a listener survey.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I would like to keep Cook and the collar counties and then they can have all the rest. They can have Effingham.
I'm cool.
They can F themselves in Effingham as far as I'm concerned.
East St. Louis is all theirs.
Yeah. And go ahead. Enjoy your poop kicker state. It will now be 51st behind Mississippi. So congratulations. But I really don't think that there's going to be enough good rhythm coming from Springfield here.
No.
You do need, here's the one thing, two things that Chicago needs, right? You need, as you mentioned, the casino. You need to change the casino rules here.
Right.
Or casino.
The tax structure, really.
Yeah. And then you do need, and the cannabis piece is weird. It's still weird. I think we find ourselves having passed a law that had a line. Hmm. And there was pages and pages and pages and pages of rules for that law that were never written. And now they're trying to come up with it, as opposed to using a template from another state that's done this fairly successfully. And Colorado is not perfect.
No.
Colorado's had a lot of problems.
Sure.
But you can learn from what Colorado's problems were. I can't believe that there weren't lobbyists that had already formulated that for them.
You know, on the cannabis law, people are saying it has all the potential to be the national template for future legalization. The problem, and you're absolutely correct about the rules, is with a lot of the really complex legislation that comes out of Springfield, there's a whole separate rulemaking process that occurs after the law is passed and signed. And it's been really slow coming from Springfield. The Joint Committee on Rules are the folks that vote on all the detailed stuff on how the law really works. We're still waiting for that guidance. And so there's been a lot of dialogue between the city and the state. Hey, guys, hurry up. Everyone, including the industry, needs to know what the rules of the road are here because we're legal in a couple months.
Jeez.
So, I don't think folks really expected a comprehensive law like this to pass back in May. It did. And then suddenly the bureaucracy had to hurry up. Mm-hmm. And really zip through this stuff, which is complex. So, yeah, they're a little behind schedule with the rules.
We got to get to the new fee hikes and the taxes. Do you want to break first?
Yeah.
I mean, because there's some things here. You are definitely impacted by you just look at the list. You're not going to be happy.
Alderman, tie the alderman up.
It's not my budget.
Lock the door. Lauren, what's happening on the roadways? Okay, Alderman. I'm going to take his gag off now so he can actually speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
Alderman Brendan Riley is here. The city has announced some new revenue enhancements to their budget.
Proposed.
This will be voted on by the new city council.
Because you just got the 450-page document dropped on you.
Hot off the presses this afternoon.
Have some fun this weekend.
I wonder how many of those communists that we elected back in back in April are going to be out there going, I love the idea of this. All right. We got new parking meter rates, potentially.
Right.
And that's going to go up how big?
Actually, I haven't gotten the details on that program, but the idea is to significantly increase the parking meter rates in the Central Business District.
Okay.
Most of which are already 24/7 parking meters.
Yeah.
It doesn't raise a tremendous amount of revenue, but that's one of the components of the budget that irks me a bit. Downtown has carried the disproportionate burden on the parking meter deal. We have the highest rates. They're in effect throughout the night. Meanwhile, surrounding wards, where we're seeing a lot of development, a lot of new density, have no parking meter spaces. It's all-you-can-eat, pig-out, buffet parking for free.
We got to end that. We got to be there. Well, stop that.
No
right
more
here.
Free rides.
If the idea here is it's good transportation policy, and that's what this is really about, is turning over parking meter spaces, then it's good enough for downtown. It's good for the surrounding wards as well.
I thought it was congestion also. Wasn't that one of her issues she mentioned in the budget?
It does go towards that because, you know, if it's expensive to park, the idea is you'll find another way to get here. But I just think it's wrong.
But you're hitting on both sides, though, because then the ride share is going up, too.
Potentially, or you're going to take public transit. Or get one of those fancy e-scooters you're
I don't want an e-scooter.
Well, they're not allowed east of Halsted yet.
No, thank God.
And we're just kind of reviewing that whole program. We don't know if we're really going to have it next year yet.
We may not.
And the increased real estate transfer tax?
Yeah, so that would require the state of Illinois, the legislature, to authorize us to raise those taxes.
Okay.
So that would be taken up in the fall veto session in Springfield. I'm not so sure that's going to get approved, and so we may have to find a way to replace that $50 million or so revenue hole.
And I know I'm going to hear immediately. My personal cell phone is going to ring off the hook with restaurateurs who are also, they would like me to pay the bill that I walked out on this week, that there is going to be an increase in the restaurant tax.
Yes. Currently the city has a special restaurant tax at 0.25%. The mayor is proposing raising that to 0.50%. So a doubling of that city tax, but at the end of the day, it would amount to an extra 25 cents tacked onto your $100 restaurant.
But we already have a 10.25% Chicago tax. So then you add that 0.5. You're almost at 11% every time you go to a restaurant just with the city's taxes.
Well, in fact,
then you got the 1% McPeer thing.
Which you have downtown.
Downtown district.
Which is in my entire ward. So my concern about this, and I want to look at the revenue generated by this piece of her tax proposal, is that it also pushes the city of Chicago into the number one slot for the highest sales taxes. And that can become a competitive issue when it comes to luring conventions and tourism to Chicago. So that's a concern. I want to understand the trade-off. Is the revenue worth earning that distinction on the national stage? I'm not convinced that it is, and that will be one of the things we push back on.
All right. I don't know how I feel about this, but I know that I feel Grant DePorter calling me right now.
I'm sure
he cares. He's calling you too right now.
I'm sure I probably have a voicemail already.
Yes. My sense is that if there's anybody that we're all going to hear from about this, it's going to be with the Restaurant Association.
Well, Ro, I've got 1,400 restaurants in my ward, so I'm expecting a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a good time on vacation, Alderman.
I wish.
All right. Alderman Brendan Riley, thank you so much.
He is the President Pro Tem
of the City Council. He's our private alderman. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being with us. We've got the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom cooking. Kim's got the news with you in 2 minutes.
All right. To the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Something we definitely need to get to today. And Kevin, I'm going to dip into you and Lauren, too, on this. David Ross. Expected to be the new Cubs manager.
Yeah, multiple reports today saying that David Ross will become the next manager. The Cubs probably won't get an announcement today because there is a World Series game tonight. So normally when it comes to personnel stuff and breaking news, teams try. There's not real policy against it, but teams try to wait for an off day or just for the World Series to be over. So there is an off day tomorrow, so we might get official word from the Cubs then. But nothing official from the Cubs, but it seems to be just about a done deal.
I don't know I don't like it.
Why not?
I don't like it.
Why
because
not?
You didn't like his Dancing with the Stars?
I don't like it. Because the manager now, the whole idea here is this. That the manager no longer is the guy who sits in the dugout and worries about the pitch count and then makes decisions about whether a guy should run, steal a base, not steal a base. You know, he sends some other guy out there to touch his nose and wipe his brim and do all those other deals, which I always like that. You know, stealing signs. He's not sending pitching instructions to the mound. There's a guy, literally, with a laptop up at the very top of the stadium, was looking down, and he's already predetermined what all of this is going to be. He's already predetermined who the next pitcher is going to be. He's already predetermined who the next batter is going to be based on launch angle or something else like that. And the manager is just a guy who now his entire job, according when you make a decision like this, his entire job is to go and polish the disco ball in Club Dub. That's all you want the manager to do is to keep everybody excited and interested in what's moving forward here. It's really not about instruction or decision.
That's not exactly how it works.
As far as I'm concerned.
As far as you're concerned. It still very much matters. I think I'm a big fan of it because I think he fits obviously seamlessly into the clubhouse. He has a relationship with a lot of the players. It will be interesting to see how he handles, you know, pulling John Lester from a game, a guy who he played with, telling Anthony Rizzo or Chris Bryant that they're getting a day off because they hadn't been playing that well. I'm interested to see how that unfolds. But as much as he was the lovable Grandpa Rossi, I think he really did demand a lot of respect from the players. He was known to call out players for not hustling and those sorts of things. But, you know, the question marks with Joe Maddon over the past couple of years, did he make the players almost too comfortable? Did they become content? So let's see if David Ross can fire him up a little bit and add a spark to this team, because it did feel stale down the stretch for the Cubs with the Maddon era. I'm a fan of the hiring. I like it. And among the candidates, I think he was the best.
What about Joe Girardi? Right, I was going to ask about him too. Was he one of the people who spent what 8 hours or 20 hours or just this ungodly amount of time with the Cubs interviewing? But it looks like he's going somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he's going to end up, but they went through the interview process with him. Joe Espada is the bench coach for the Houston Astros. He went through a couple rounds of interviews as well, but it always felt like David Ross was the right fit for this, and obviously Theo Epstein thought the same. I mean, he's been a part of the Cubs front office now. He was a special assistant to Theo Epstein, whatever that means, but obviously they thought highly of him enough to give him a position within the organization. So it's not that surprising. This was the name that came up immediately when Joe Maddon. I mean, the players were asked about David Ross the final day of the season. So Anthony Rizzo, who is very close with David Ross, they're friends. Ross is a mentor to him. Said, "Look, if he gets hired, I'm all for it, and he's then my boss, and I have to listen to what he says and tells us to do."
Well, he's like twice his age, isn't he? Yeah, so it's not like exactly that hard to look, you know, kind of up to him, right?
Right.
Isn't the whole band of Pearl Jam special assistant?
Yeah. Do they have coaching roles? Have
Bill
they
Murray,
been named?
Pearl Jam, all the celebrities.
They gotta be there.
Jack Carlin.
Right.
All the celebrities that are always at Wrigley.
Bill Murray.
Billy Joel.
Bill Murray.
It doesn't make baseball sense to me. The way I remember baseball. Back in my day, you know, manager had a heart attack in the middle of the game and he liked it.
Why don't you think it? What do you mean by that?
I just mean that it's that the manager was the guy who made all the decisions.
I mean, they still do, but the difference now is they have so much more information. So they give them this stuff before a game. The manager is still a ton of pressure to. I mean, look, Joe Maddon was killed by Cubs fans for his decisions with the bullpen. And it's not Theo Epstein calling the dugout and telling him to put a certain pitcher in. It's still the manager's decision in-game. There's still a ton of in-game moves that a manager has to make. And the bottom line is the manager doesn't matter a whole lot when it comes to winning and losing. I think they probably get a little too much credit when they do win and too much blame when a team does lose. It comes down to the players performing. It always does. But
well, where's Jonah Hill in all of this? Where is that guy?
The stat guy
is like up on his laptop, and he's calling up Theo and going, "Don't you understand what the launch angle is going to be on this?"
Well, they do have a computer tech room, which is not that far from the dugout when they first opened.
How close
it
is that to Club Dub?
It's a little bit farther because Club Dub is basically the old clubhouse for Wrigley, which was like the size of
disco
the
ball.
Closet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and is it like, so the Bears and the Cubs do the same? Every time they win, they have this club dance party?
Yeah, Matt Nagy was, that's kind of where he got the idea. He picked Joe Madden's brain as they got to know each other.
Oh, that's going to go.
No
God,
wonder we're
good.
Losing.
Yeah, no, because Joe Madden never won anything. Joe Madden didn't help completely change the culture
of the
Cubs.
Why do we hate Joe Madden?
We don't hate Joe Madden.
I think it was stupid that he got fired.
Yeah, they should not have fired Joe Madden. Here's the other deal.
It was a mutual agreement to go separate ways.
Yeah, okay. So here's
did you read that off the press release?
Well, they didn't renew his contract. His contract was up. It's not like he still had a contract with them.
So you called this from the minute that it happened. I mean, everybody kind of knew. As soon as this occurred, I like the fact that they had this, you know, phony baloney talking to everybody, but I think they were always going to hire Grandpa Rossi to be the manager. They were always going to get rid of Joe Madden. Joe Madden was always going to go to the California Angels. You called it the minute he was let go. Did you not?
The Madden and the Ross things, that did fall into place. It felt like natural fits for both of them. Madden, obviously, the history with the Angels. I actually thought it was the right time to move on from
so Madden. Why Girardi not? Why does Girardi not have a job? That's a guy. Here's a guy. I like that. That's how Harry Carey has it. Here's a guy that has done everything right. One World Series. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it? You think maybe the Yankees go back
after? It looks like the Phillies. If you read all the sports pages, they're all saying that they're moving closer to him being their new manager.
Yeah, the Phillies moving on from Gabe Kapler, who was another one. And this is a trend we've seen in baseball, hiring former players that had no managerial experience whatsoever. Gabe Kapler had no managerial experience. They hired him. It didn't work out. After two seasons, they fired him. David Ross obviously doesn't have any managerial experience. Aaron Boone with the Yankees never had any experience as a manager. He took them to the helped take them to the ALCS this year. They fell short, obviously, but that's a trend that seems to be. And I think to your point, Ro, it is a little bit different. Where I think it is about working with a different generation of players when it comes to more personal and building relationships with the players. When you do have all the information and stats laid out in front of you. You know, Madden was brought in to change the culture with the Cubs, and he did that, obviously. I don't think they really need a culture shock here. I think they need somebody to light a spark under some of these players where it feels like they have become content after that World Series run. There's no reason the Cubs shouldn't be playing deep in the postseason every year with the amount of talent they have. So I think Ross is the right guy because I think he can do that. I think he could fire up some of his former teammates and relate with some of the other guys or younger players as well.
And you don't think the fact that he's so close with them. I mean, he's a friend. He's hanging out with their families. You know, mm-hmm. they've gone out and I'm sure had partied together. I mean, it's a different relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the most interesting component to this whole thing with Ross is how does he handle that? Like I said, how does he handle? Is John Lester going to get mad at him for pulling him earlier? You know, in the game that he thought he should have been? Is Anthony Rizzo going to be upset with him for benching him for a game? I think that will be interesting to look at, to see how those relationships unfold when it comes to just a baseball sense of things.
Mr. Ross, I'd like to show you this particular statistic. I noticed that there's a proclivity for Anthony Rizzo to miss the ball when it is in the lower outside corner of the plate between 92 and 93.5 miles per hour.
I know.
Based on his launch angle.
I know.
When did baseball just become all about math?
I think I think the analytics have actually made the game in the grand scheme better because there's more information, you can do stuff with information. But I think for a lot of fans are like, I don't know what WRC plus is, and I don't care. I want to sit on my couch and drink a beer and watch a guy hit a home run. Tell me his batting average and how many RBIs. I get that, because for the common fan, you're like, I never liked math in school. I slept through it. I didn't care. I don't care about all these numbers.
I noticed that John Lester has lost one-third of a turn per 100 turns on his ball as it is moving from the upper right to lower left.
His spin rate seems to be slowing down.
We need to look into that, Mr. Ross.
See, this is the
Grandpa
problem.
Rossi, he's the guy.
All right. He's going to cut a rug. Well, you know, the man can dance a club dub now.
That's true.
All right. I just wonder if Girardi lands, and I do wonder about your White Sox in all of this. I mean, I know that they say they're going to stick with Ricky Renteria. Mm-hmm. But they're in this championship. They're entering a championship window here. They, at least on paper, next season, when they get some of these players up, when they get Luis Robert up, and they have now this full stack, and you get the pitchers back that are going to be healthy theoretically, this is a different, now all of a sudden, this is real. And there's real expectation, not only amongst White Sox fans, but there's real, such that that is, because White Sox fans are still the Chicago sports fans, so they know that things can go very wrong. I mean, they're all Bears fans, too, so they know what can go wrong. But this is a moment where Major League Baseball is looking at this franchise and going, this is going to be something. And you just wonder, is Ricky Renteria the guy to take him all the way across? That's a question that I think some people have. That's all I'm saying. I know everybody wants to be quiet right now because Ricky's a really nice guy and people like him very much. And maybe he is. But there, you know, there are people who are definitely in Rick Hahn's ear right now saying, hey, do you want to take a look at some of these other guys that are coming through here? Although you do need somebody who does speak fluent Spanish because that dugout has got a lot of kids in it that, you know, are not great with the English, even though they're learning, and you still need to be able to culturally connect, I think, right? And I don't think that that's unfair to say. I think that is a big part of why Ricky is coveted.
I agree. I think that absolutely factors in.
All right. Hey, I got tickets.
Hold on. Speaking of this,
are you interested in this? I got tickets to the Mecum Chicago 2019. This October 24th through the 26th at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center, world's largest collector car auction company. Estimated 1,000 American muscle cars, classics, Corvettes, hot rods, and more will be consigned for sale. Visit Mecum.com for details. I got tickets coming up in just a few minutes for that. All right? All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Lauren?
Yes?
Roadways? Coming up, our conversation with Michael Steele today. He's got some thoughts on what happened in Washington. There was something that happened that was weird, man.
Some congressmen stormed one of the other, the secret rooms where they look at the secret documents and talk to the secret people.
Mm-hmm. The skiff, they call
the
that.
Skiff.
So you had that Matt Gaetz guy who is, he's a firebrand. He's on TV a lot. And he took a bunch of other congressmen. Turns out he went to the White House yesterday, and they planned this whole thing. And then they took a bunch of other members of Congress, and they went to the skiff today, and they demanded to go into a hearing room, even though they were not on the committee. And they were just going to get in the way of it. And it's a made-for-TV kind of a thing, but it was on TV. That's what they did. They wanted to... Well, I'll let Michael Steele explain. He's got his own thoughts on that. I won't speak for him. So that's coming your way. Also, a top 5 of 5 you won't believe. And our dear friend Jim Peterick is going to be here. Jim Peterick is celebrating 55 years of the Ides of March.
How about that? And he's our favorite purple-haired person on the planet.
He's prematurely purple. That is true.
He rocks the purple really well.
He's playing News or Ruse with us. Jim Peterick's hair is purple, News or Ruse.
Naturally purple.
Right. That's what I would
like
to know.
We know it's purple.
Yeah. So there is going to be a show on Saturday night at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan celebrating the 55th anniversary of the Ides of March, and I am going to be hosting that show.
Nice. So, are you going to go purple for the whole thing?
I don't think so. I don't think I need to go purple.
You could rock the purple.
I don't know that I can. I'm not sure I should. I'm not sure that it's the right thing for me to do. But he will be here in the 6 o'clock hour to talk about that. And then Adam Hoge, we're talking Bears. We got Bears problems. Still got Bears problems.
Kicker's amazing.
We were supposed to have our own personal Blackhawk. He is amazing. We're supposed to have our own personal Blackhawk join us.
Connor
today.
Murphy.
Yeah. And Connor Murphy got hurt in the game last night.
He didn't play the third period.
Just got placed on injured reserve.
Oh, now what does that mean in hockey?
Missed 10 games.
Lower body.
Groin injury.
Oh. How come they were so specific on this one? Aren't they usually in hockey the lower body, the upper body, that's all we get to know?
We just know it's probably a re-injury, right? Wasn't that what he was
talking about in the preseason?
Probably re-aggravated, and a lot of times it depends on the time of the year, Anna, because towards playoff season, you don't want people to know.
Got it. Makes sense.
God, I thought you were going to say something about him for a second. There's a lot. It depends on the
time of
year.
I don't need the reasoning how it happened. It's just what it is.
It's not hockey mating season yet. When it's hockey mating season, we see a lot of these kinds of injuries.
Hey, you know what? I got a groin injury last night reacting to that game, so I feel him.
Probably true.
There was a moment. We did have to pick Lauren up off the floor at the end of the game.
I was hiding under the bar.
That's at least what she told security when they showed up. All right, that is all coming your way. please don't miss a minute of it. Please, whatever you do. And, oh, so I want to do this right now. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200 wins a pair of tickets to Mecum Chicago 2019, October 24th through the 26th, the Renaissance Chicago, the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center, I should say, world's largest collector car auction company, an estimated 1,000 American muscle cars, classics, Corvettes, hot rods, and more will be consigned for sale. Visit Mecum.com for details. I started watching this. NBC Sports Net does this mm-hmm. when they have nothing else on. They put this on. And now I realize that it's actually very entertaining to watch because there's a lot of detail about these cars. And if you know, we were talking about this with baseball, there's way too many statistics in baseball.
Yep.
There's way too many statistics about a muscle car I had no idea anything about. And you learn it when you're watching this. It's really, really, really good. And now you get to go see it live here. It's coming to the Schaumburg, to the Renaissance Convention Center there.
How about that?
Yeah,
nice.
It'll be very cool. All right, so 312-981-7200 rips us off for that right now. There is news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and you know who has it, Kim Gordon. It's 4:30. Michael Steele mm-hmm. joins us, and he is, of course, the man of steel. I would do the whole sound effect, but I'm too sad today, quite honestly. I'm afraid of even what I'm seeing. Let's start with what happened on Capitol Hill today. You know, there was they've been doing these hearings in this, they call it the SCIF. It's a secured area in the basement of the Capitol. And
no phones, nothing.
They're not allowed to have phones or anything in there. And a group of Trump supporting Republicans, congressmen, and I think there were some senators in there, stormed the SCIF. Matt Gaetz was the guy that led the charge. I just want to play for you what Matt Gaetz said.
We're going to try to go in there, and we're going to try to figure out what's going on behalf of the millions of Americans that we represent that want to see this Congress working for them and not obsessed with attacking a president who we believe has not done anything to deserve impeachment.
Fine, but weren't the Republicans already in the room that were doing that? Why does he have to go in?
This is why I'm so glad folks have you like you on the air to expose stupid. Because Gaetz and all those Republicans, I don't care if they're senators, congressmen, it doesn't matter. They don't serve on the relevant committee. They do not have a seat on the relevant committees. That's why they're not in the hearings. That's why they're not in the meeting room. Jim Jordan, one of the big firebrand and bomb throwers, is in the meeting. He's in the room. So he can ferret out to Gaetz and others whatever secrets he thinks are being told inside that room. And it's to say something that he's not doing that.
Well, now what's interesting is that there was a guy who came out and said that Jim Jordan did impeach the witness. There was a deputy defense secretary. Their story totally fell apart under the withering cross-examination of Jim Jordan. That's what we're being told.
Well, that's okay, fine.
So that's really not the issue here. What is the issue, Michael Steele, former head of the Republican Party? You have this moment that was really orchestrated, as it turns out now. McClatchy is reporting that the president had some of these Republicans who stormed the SCIF today at the White House yesterday. And there was a plan that they had, because the one thing the president is great at is producing television. This is a great visual. Even though they took their phones in there, which is a violation of law, they did it anyway. And then, you know, nobody's going to go after them for that. But it's just a crazy, crazy, crazy thing. It seems to me that the walls are closing in. And I'm not saying this out of happiness. All of this is terrible for America. But the walls are closing in, and I think a lot of Republicans, especially in the Senate, are starting to feel their own mortality here. Because we're talking today about what about the possibility of President Pence in 2020 being the incumbent so that they have a shot, Republicans have a shot at keeping this. Will it go that far?
Yeah, it's already going that far, and I've heard from a number of quarters, you know, hush, quiet. Everybody's right now planning contingencies. They don't know where this is going to go, which is why the meeting at the White House, which you appropriately referenced with Gaetz and others who, you know, basically went out there and did what Trump wanted them to do today, create television. And I love the way you put that, because that's exactly what it is. Is a way to disrupt this process, to get people off track, to get to buy time. But the reality, the truth of it is, and I go back to this again, is that that Bill Taylor yesterday made it very hard. He established the quid pro quo, the criminality of that. And, you know, you have guys like Hugh Hewitt as a buddy, and I like him a lot, but please stop the sycophantic, you know, excuse making. You know, he came up with something about the Louisiana Purchase, you know, and how the government always does quid pro quos. Yeah, they do. Absolutely. But the Louisiana Purchase, for example, would have been a real problem if Jefferson instead gave me some dirt on my political rival,
Hamilton,
in the upcoming presidential election. Understand what we're talking about here. Don't get sidewinded and confused by the process argument and there's no quid pro quo here. Yes, there was. The question is, what was the nature of it? Was the nature of it something that is violative of the United States Constitution or not? This is not complicated, people. If the President of the United States says to a foreign leader who makes a request of the President, by the way, hey, we really would like the aid that you promised because we're having a problem over here, and the President's initial response is, but I have a favor, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a problem.
I'll do what you want, but I have a favor, though, to ask of you. That's a problem.
Okay, so... Now, you were part of that whole Tea Party thing in 2010, right? I mean, you were out buying three-cornered hats for people to wear at these public events that they were going to. Where are those people? Why are they not upset about that?
A lot of them have left Congress. Many of them were lost their seats in primaries by Trumpers, ironically enough. You know, the folks that I elected in 2010, a good number of them are not there now. Some have morphed into this thing, this creature that now roams the halls of Congress, many of whom we saw showing up today to storm the skiff. And so that's where they are. They're not constitutionalists. They pretend that the Constitution, they know how to say the word, but they don't understand its meaning. So it's going to take civic-minded citizens to say enough. This is no longer about whether you're pro-life or support the Second Amendment. This is about what kind of constitutional republic are we going to be next year?
What I hear from Trump-supporting Republicans is I still care about all those things, and Trump has been able to get two Supreme Court justices that agree with me if I'm, you know, that form of conservative. And you know what, 120 or whatever the number is that of judges – lower on the federal courts. And so that's what I'm looking for. And maybe I don't like the guy, but what's my alternative?
Well, your alternative is to pick leaders who don't need to tear down your house in order to fix your toilet.
Where we find ourselves, we're so at loggerheads about all of this. I mean, everyone's on fire. Everyone's hair is on fire. The president's hair looks like it's on fire. It is just it's just a moment in American history where I don't know that cooler, rational heads can prevail here to get things done, because there are things that still need to get done. And we also have to decide who is and who is not an ally. It does seem like everything is tilting by either design, default, accident, whatever it is. It's all benefiting the Russian Federation. And I just feel uncomfortable with that. And I know that the generals feel uncomfortable with that. I know there are a lot of Republicans who feel uncomfortable with that, and they're not exactly sure what to do.
Well, they are. They do know what they need to do. They know what they need to do. They're not unsure at all. They know exactly what they need to do. They need to. They need the smack back on the president's decision. There needs to be full-throated resolutions coming out of both chambers that this policy will not stand. It needs to be a reaffirmation to the Kurds and a warning to the Russians that the United States Senate and House are prepared to act where the president fails to lead. Yes, we can have the constitutional debate that the foreign policy is in the purview of the president, but the Congress controls the purse strings that fund that foreign policy. Yeah. And they have leverage, and they have a way to make the president understand he's, after all, a businessman. So I'm sure he understands what it means when you are cut off from your funding.
Yes, I'm sure. That's happened before.
You know?
Yeah.
That's happened before. Yeah. He's been in that room many times. So there are things that the Congress can do. So they do have power. They just are afraid to wield it. Now, here's the one interesting light. Nancy Pelosi isn't. And she is the most dangerous political figure in this psychodrama that's unfolding out of this administration right now. Because she has the wherewithal and the means, including her own hesitancy to act precipitously on impeachment, to really change the nature of how this plays out. So we'll see whether or not such actions are taken by the House in the next coming weeks, to your point, that, you know, that there's something that, you know, everybody can come around to, on to deal with this. As right now, Erdogan, the president of Turkey, and Putin, the president of Russia, are dividing up Syria. And the United States is doing nothing.
Yeah.
And once that is complete, we will have no role nor say in what happens in the Middle East for a significant period of time. It will be hard for us to work our way back into that conversation, not just with this president, but any future president, because we have ceded that space now, and they're going to be dictating the terms via Syria, via Iraq, via Iran, what that policy is going to look like more broadly. And if I'm Israel, I'm real nervous. And yeah, they've got their issues right now in terms of whether or not Netanyahu is going to continue on as prime minister. But Israel should be really concerned about what's happening to their north.
We'll leave it there. Michael Steele, thank you so much. Lauren Lapkus.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Thank you, Michael. Lauren Lapkus got the traffic right now. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here. We got the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is a-hopping. Kim Gordon's going to have the news at the top of the hour. Don't miss that. All right. Okay. All right. Always the sanitary products, the female sanitary products. Familiar with Always?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Better than Some of the Time. That would be a bad name for that product, wouldn't it?
I think they were pretty good with the branding there.
Yeah. Always.
We're there for you.
Yeah, always. Yeah, maybe. We're there. Sometimes we're there, sometimes we're not.
No promises. That would have been another one. They ditched at the marketing meeting.
Maybe leaks.
Oh.
Always sanitary products are going to remove the Venus symbol, historically used to represent the female sex, from its products. Because it wishes to be, are you ready for this, inclusive to transgender and non-binary customers.
But they don't need it.
Well, they might if they've had the surgery.
Right, but no. Then
but I have that, and they need that.
Yeah, they don't have the other
that's
stuff.
That's true.
That
yeah,
when they identify as a woman anyway.
Yeah. I mean, maybe for a couple days a month they just want to do that to, you know, sort of be with the rest of the team. I don't know.
Sounds like a waste of money. But yeah, non-binary, I mean, you could still have biological females that don't identify as female.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
But interesting.
The change is the latest in a series of actions companies and governments are taking to affirm the identities of transgender people as transgender equality. Activism surges. Companies include Lyft. How's Lyft doing that? What is Lyft?
Like Uber Lyft?
Yeah.
Is it the mustache?
Oh, yeah. They did have that.
Did they take the mustache off?
I don't know.
What mustache?
There was a mustache on the car.
Yeah, some of the cars used to have the giant pink mustache on top of it.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose it was sort of, yeah. I mean, I always found that weird because, you know, sort of, you know, ride and the
yeah, what
mustache
does it have to do?
And the right.
Oh, come on, bro.
I'm just trying to make the point that I always found that to be weird.
No, you're making a point that you always make it sexual. You and Kevin.
Well, it is.
Me? Are you kidding me?
Oh, wait a second.
Oh.
That's what this is about, though.
This is not about sexual.
Well, it's about sexual identity. Right? Isn't this
gender identity.
Isn't this where we... All right. So, gender identity. So, isn't this where we are now? And this, I mean... Do you have to take the Venus? I mean, now what about the Venus? Isn't there like an entire razor called the Venus?
Mm-hmm.
We have to ditch the Venus?
What about the planet?
What if the non-binary? I mean, I
gotta rename the planet. Got to do it.
Did you see? Did you guys watch Billions or is it Billions? Do you watch that?
Don't.
The Asia Kate Dillon, the gender neutral character in that whole show, is saying that the Oscars should eliminate actor and actress category. That they should just have one category.
I knew it was only going to be a matter of time before that happened. And that probably will somehow happen. But now the question is, you're going to have more categories, though. You're going to have to be supporting actors.
But then when a guy wins, they're just going to say,
non-binary.
He won because he's a guy.
Yeah, right.
That's not going to solve anything.
Yeah, no, it isn't. You know who else is making adjustments to this? Tinder. But isn't that, isn't Tinder just designed for the hooking up?
For true love, bro.
Right? I mean, doesn't every proclivity or interest have its own app? I mean, what's wrong with that? It's just, it's like flavors in the cold case. Pardon the expression.
708 man ponds.
For over 35 years, always, this is the statement, always has championed girls and women, and we will continue to do so. We're also committed to diversity and inclusion and are on a continual journey to understand the needs of all of our consumers.
I'm inspired by this brave move.
I think we should go buy some, Kev. Let's go down to Mr. Patel and buy some.
He's probably got them.
He does. I'm sure he does.
He's got everything you need. You can live in his store for 10 years. Be fine.
And right now he has CBD.
It's right next to the Red Bull, in between the Red Bull and the CBD. We're going to buy the Always. And the peanuts.
Right around the corner from the gummy bears.
I'm not understanding exactly what was offensive about it. Did they explain it? I've never even noticed it. We haven't either.
Hold on. Procter & Gamble goes on to say, getting periods can be a dysphoric experience for transgender and non-binary people, especially because of the way that periods are generally discussed and addressed as something that only happens to people who are assigned female at birth. We routinely assess our products, packaging, and designs, taking into account consumer feedback to ensure we are meeting the needs of everyone who uses our products.
But they don't use the products. Isn't that what we decided?
I think that's what we decided, and I don't understand this at all. And I'm not trying to be, Luddite. I get it. I understand. I kind of get it. Okay, maybe I don't get it at all. I definitely do not get this story. Thanks for your support, everybody.
It's a lot going on there.
There really is. All right, a top five of five. Ryan Lochte makes it back into the top five of five.
And not for the reasons that you would think.
No.
He's made a lot of headlines for the really wrong reasons.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Kim Gordon Neck.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five. Let's go. Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay. She says so.
Number five.
The mayor offered an $11.65 billion budget plan for 2020 earlier today. She was laying out a path to dig the city out of its $838 million deficit without relying on steep property tax increases.
But what we also heard every single place we went was that residents don't want to see their property taxes increased. And who can blame them? That's why I'm here to tell you that we didn't solve our $838 million budget gap with a large property tax increase in 2020. And folks, that's good news.
It sounds like there somebody is vacuuming in the other room during that.
With a broken vacuum cleaner.
Fix that. It's buzzing.
Why is somebody vacuuming when I'm trying to tell you about the budget?
Maybe it was to drown out the teachers who were protesting outside. This is, the interesting thing about this is that restructuring the debt got the mayor and all of us who pay taxes in the city to more than a third of the way there. They just took advantage of lower interest rates.
They called Team Hochberg.
Right? They didn't kick the can down the road to balloon payments later on. They just redid the debt with the lower interest rate. But then...
Wrong!
Well, we're not.
I'm sorry. That's what Hochberg would say. I don't know.
He does say that. He said, that's not the way to do it. This is the way to do it. But maybe she did consult with Hochberg or someone like that.
Yeah.
They figured that piece of it out with that doesn't cause any pain to any of us. Then there's this $500 million of it that was in savings by making cuts to jobs that are not filled, saying that if you want to start this job again, it's a zero budget. Go ahead and explain why we need that new position because no one's in it now. Why do we need it? So we would add as needed. And then the new revenue is that other little piece of this, which is about a third digging into our pockets on parking meters and stuff.
She's at the closing for the new loan. All right, now this piece of paper here indemnifies the lender from, you know, just sign it. Just sign the whole thing. Just keep signing.
Yeah.
There's more.
There is.
Among some controversial items on the agenda, she's proposing rideshare tax for services like Uber and Lyft in hopes of cutting down on traffic congestion.
And if we are smart about this, making this small increase will not hurt our neighborhoods or impair accessibility for our disabled riders. And to be clear, I reject, and you should be deeply skeptical, of the false narrative rideshare companies are spreading. The multimillionaire owners of these companies have essentially had free rein in the city of Chicago. And if they cared so much about equity, as they say, they would cut their drivers in on a bigger share of the profits, improve their working conditions, and not pass the cost onto them.
Maria!
What are you laughing at?
Vacuuming!
Can you hold off our cleaning?
I didn't barely even hear that. I was just so moved by her, what she had to say.
All I could hear was a vacuum in the background.
But that one got tremendous applause because they've been lobbying so much about this. The poor rideshare companies. The poor rideshare companies.
I go clean now. No, Maria, don't clean now.
Remember we had that at Michigan Avenue? They used to always, it was during our show, for whatever reason, was the time when they came in to clean. Remember that? They came in and like, oh.
Vacuuming while we were still on the air.
There's some microphones that have red lights on.
All right. Well, you know what? That's a direct shot at Rahm because of his brother. That's a shot at Ari Emanuel because he's a big Uber investor. That's a little reminder, a little brushback pitch. All these millionaires and billionaires are involved in these tech startups and everything, and they're going to tell you how it's going to ruin their businesses. It's not going to ruin their businesses.
I'm sure that's they've been lobbying her as well to try to not add more taxes on top of taxes for rideshare. But the thing is, if you share a ride, the tax rate would go down. It's only if you take a solo ride in one of those Ubers or Lyfts, they call them, so calling them rideshare is sort of a little bit deceiving because then your taxes go up.
I don't want to be with somebody else in that thing.
Then you're not helping with the whole downtown traffic issue.
No, I am not.
No, you're not helping.
I drive two cars downtown. That's what I do in a day. And I take a rideshare by myself, a large rideshare by myself, back to the house to pick up the other car and bring it down. I'm a 20th century man. But I don't want to die here if I just quote the Kinks. I want to be able to drive a car by myself with just me. And if I want to take a Lyft or an Uber or whatever it is, I want to be by myself too.
You can do that.
I don't want to be there with people who might smell funny. Why do I have to do that?
Going to have to pay for that. Congestion tax, if you will.
They're congested. Wait, there's a little bit. Is Maria vacuuming in this one too? Yeah, all right.
My team is undertaking a detailed review to reform TIF and align it more closely with our economic development needs and our values, accountability, and transparency. The days of the TIF slush fund are over.
Yeah. Very good.
Can you just wait 1 minute to vacuum? I've got an announcement to make.
We're going
to
be done here in just a few minutes.
1 minute.
Could you just go to another office down the hall? Could you just go down there, do that? I know that. You know what? I noticed that no one had cleaned out those waste paper baskets. So could you, Maria, please, could you do that? And then you can come back here.
Maybe that's
the time. But then you'd hear.
All right. Moving along.
Number four.
All right. The teachers union today said they're making progress in the contract negotiations, but not enough. In addition to classes being canceled, the city's student athletes are going to be forced to forfeit state playoff games due to state rules banning players from competing when their school is on strike. Oh, now that sucks. That really sucks. Because some of these kids are counting on that.
Yeah.
Right? Because that helps them in terms of college and all the, you know, scouts are looking at them, college scouts.
And I mean, if you're Simeon, you're one of the best football teams in the state, really. Yeah. They're ranked fourth in 6A. That's a team that has a realistic shot of going deep into the playoffs if they were to get in. And that's not going to happen now.
That's not right.
No.
That is not right. Julian's happy about it. But Simeon, that's not right. All right, so here's Stacey Davis-Gates says that the strike is hurting CPS athletes.
Chicago has some of the best legacy of athletics on every level, and it's a shame that we have to be on strike to actually talk about providing resources for something. Look, no one remembers a math test, but everyone remembers the big game. There will not be a student athlete who experienced the 2019 strike who will not remember this experience.
Well, now she's the vice president of the teachers union, right? So isn't she just making an argument that is counterintuitive to the teachers? Nobody remembers the big test. They just remember the game. Well, that's... You see, they're so close. Just go back. Go back to work and get the thing done. There's got to be a way to build a bridge here between Lori Lightfoot's people and the teachers union representatives to build a bridge to get the kids back in school, because that is really unfair to these athletes. It's really unfair to everybody. It's unfair to the parents. It's unfair to, and then coming downtown and screwing up traffic so I can't take my Uber by myself and have
stretch limo Uber.
pay more money on my Uber black XL like, you know, whatever it is, Learjet Uber that I get, and then go back and get my car and drive it downtown and be caught in the traffic.
Are you renting, like, tour buses that go through the city, too?
Like Dave Matthews?
Just for me. I want the tour alone.
I want to be by myself. Is it wrong to want to be by yourself in an Uber?
It isn't. You just got to pay for it now. It's a little extra dough. Extra congestion tax on your Uber if you're by yourself.
And then if you go with somebody, you got to go where they have to go first, if they're closer.
Depends. You might be closer. Then they got to go where you got to go.
But I don't know that when I get in. How do I know?
You don't. You've got to go with the flow. But they usually give you a time that says if you have your own, you get there at this time. If you have a shared ride, you get there at this time.
I've never understood the shared ride. I would never do that in a million years.
I've done it many times.
Yeah, it saves a buck.
Yeah, saves a couple bucks.
So if you're not in a rush, it's a good option, but...
So you just get into a car and sit next to a stranger?
Yeah, all the time.
Maria with her vacuum on her way to work.
What's wrong with that?
She brings her own vacuum and sitting there, and, excuse me, and you have to get in, and there's, I don't know, there could be people in there that you know, that have communicable diseases and stuff. I don't need that.
Well.
All right. I'm a man of the people.
I'm just looking at all the new taxes, and you are going to be hard hit, because it's you. It's parking meters downtown, ride shares when you have to be by yourself, and then the food and drink, you get an extra 25 cents. 25%. So 25 cents per 100 bucks. Then you have
Maria, we're discussing
the future.
Could you just take your
broken vacuum into another room?
Yeah.
Hey, she's probably got to stay late if she doesn't get all of everything done. So why wouldn't she continue vacuuming?
It's after 5 o'clock. Go to the sales office. All right. We'll get to your 3, 2, and 1, but first, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadways?
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team. It's all weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN.
Top 5 continues.
Number 3.
Okay, so Bob Iger is the CEO of the Walt Disney Company, which now owns Marvel. And the Fox Studios, and basically owns everything. He was on this program a couple of weeks ago. He was talking at a tech conference in California. And he was asked about Martin Scorsese and Francis Ford Coppola attacking, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and those kinds of movies. Mm-hmm. The superhero movies.
Yeah.
Because it's not cinema. It's not cinema. So Iger got a little hot under the collar.
I'm puzzled by it. If they want to about movies, it's certainly their right. I don't know. I don't understand. It seems so disrespectful to all the people that work on those films who are working just as hard as the people who work on their films and are putting their creative souls on the line just like they are.
Why does everything involving superheroes have to get so heated so fast?
People, man.
They're movies.
I know. Well, we're
They're
just,
movies.
It's about everything now. This isn't even about superheroes. It's about politics and sports and everything. It doesn't matter. Even our entertainment. Even our yogurt, we get mad about.
I mean, people are using adjectives that you would use for Hitler to talk about the people who say that the Marvel movies are not, like, great works of art. I mean, it's like, come on.
They're entitled to their opinions. You know, Francis Ford Coppola and Martin Scorsese are two people I hold in the highest regard in terms of the films they've made, the films I've liked, the films, you know, we've all watched. But when Francis uses the word those films are despicable, I'd reserve the word despicable to someone who committed mass murder. These are movies.
Unless it's Despicable Me 3, which will be opening in theaters in the spring.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're fighting all over right. that. We were just fighting over tampons, literally, half an hour ago, that the people at Procter & Gamble have to take the Venus off of the Always tampon box because it could be offensive to non-binary people and others in the LGBTQ community who don't necessarily identify as a woman but still need them.
Yeah, that's what we learned.
Yeah.
They were offended and they lobbied the company and it was successful. They decided to take that symbol off the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out for them.
Okay.
Number two.
Ryan Lochte's back in the news. He sees next year's Summer Olympics in Tokyo as a chance to remind people of the swimmer who had won 12 Olympic medals. Not the one that's been suspended twice, had a run-in with the law when he was down in Brazil. Second most decorated swimmer in Olympic history opened up to Craig Melvin on the Today Show about his comeback attempt leading up to the 2020 Games. His new life as a family man and his decision to enter rehab.
You're a villain to a lot of folks in 2016.
Yeah.
What was that like for you personally?
It was hard. It got to points where I would wake up crying. And I was like, man, I just wish I could just disappear, go on a remote island and just not see anyone.
Why was it so hard?
I was a role model. Kids looked up to me. They were like, I want to be like you.
I think it was the alcohol. And you know, alcohol always takes it on the chin. It should, probably, when you stop and you think about it.
I thought it was the fact that he told his ma. Then his mom blabbed about it to a reporter on the bus at the Olympics. It all went downhill.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the craziest story.
Poor Ryan.
I still
did do a stupid thing.
I do believe, though, that we are going to have more hijinks from him before it's all said and done.
Wasn't he a dad now, and he's married and mature?
All right. We'll and see. Finally...
Number one.
In his new book and video series, Very Modern Mantras, Daily Affirmations for Daily Aggravations, humor writer Dan Zevin has created a guide for navigating the annoyances we face on a daily basis, like oversharing coworkers, grunting dudes at the gym. In a video revolving around Instagram, Zevin helps you name the feelings of jealousy. Why do they get to go on such a nice vacation? Or confusion. How does this idiot have more followers than me? And all those things that bubble up in all of us.
Tune out the noise of the day and visualize two beautiful persons deeply in love greeting you from their tropical vacation. Feel your feelings. Jealousy. Envy. Inadequacy. Let's scroll deeper through your Instagram feed. Turn your gaze to the selfie from your friends at the spa. Quiet the questions cluttering your aura, such as, what filter did they use to make their teeth so white? Did she get Botox?
Do they ever work?
Oh. Completely true.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show right here, 720 WGN. All right, one of the things that has been in the news this week that we're trying to get to, and we must address, because we only this radio program can handle it, because if there's anything that we understand, it's office politics and gender roles within the office. That's what we understand here on this program. Yeah. We're not really particularly good at with the rules around here, I've noticed, comes to that. We tend to be we sort of live life the way we live outside, inside here. And I don't know that that's the way it's supposed to be. And Ernst & Young, they don't want that. Oh, no. If you've seen that, this story has got a lot of people exercised, because at Ernst & Young, which is, you know, that's a big company, right?
Mm-hmm. They do the... Big base here.
Yeah. That's very important. What do they do? They do all kinds of things.
Accounting.
They're consultants and accounting, and they make important decisions for important people.
They do the Entrepreneur of the Year program here in Chicago and Illinois, the Midwest, where they acknowledge all the top entrepreneurs.
They have 250,000 employees. What could possibly go wrong?
That's huge. They got a lot of people to manage.
$36 billion in global revenue. They're big. But this is really weird, because they had a program that they could take. It's a leadership program that teaches both men and women how to be good employees and good leaders inside their company. Or just, I guess, in life, right? In a professional environment.
Mm-hmm. How to succeed at the company.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership training.
But what turned out to be the rules for men and the rules for women were different.
Like, really different.
Very different.
Offensively so, I think, to a lot of people.
For example, women were told, do not show your distracting skin.
Wait, what?
Yep.
Describe distracting skin.
Well, they say they'll leave the short skirts at home because sexuality scrambles the mind of some of the men you might be meeting with.
Oh, say that again.
That was a quote. So Kevin would agree with that. He put that in his leadership training.
No.
Don't be aggressive. Don't be aggressive like men.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, it actually had in the worksheet that they had to do in the seminar, you had to put down masculine traits, and you were scored based on how well you did, and feminine traits, and sort of like aggressive, ambitious, analytical, acts as a leader, masculine.
Oh my God.
Female.
This thing's outdated by 100 years.
This is from last year, people.
Female is affectionate, uh-huh. cheerful, childlike, compassionate, does not use harsh language.
Gullible.
Eager to soothe hurt feelings.
Loves children.
Flatterable. Gentle.
Oh, gee. I'm like none of those.
I was going to say, that's the opposite of Lauren.
Wait, hold on. I got more
here.
You
would not score well on this particular. You'd be kicked out of E&Y. You're fired.
We need to have a talk, Lauren.
Sensitive to the needs of others, whereas men are individualistic.
Selfish.
Shy. Soft-spoken. Sympathetic. Tender. Understanding. Warm, and here's the one. Okay. Here's Lauren to a T. Yielding. And guys are... Guys, listen to this. This is you and me, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
We're athletic, competitive, defends one's beliefs, dominant, forceful, leadership abilities, independent, individualistic. I make a decision easily. Masculinity, self-reliant, self-sufficient, strong personality, willing to take a stand, willing to take risks. How about that?
And you were scored based on how highly you rated those for men and for women. That was the best part about it. God, there were right and wrong answers to this. It wasn't sort of your interpretation of the world. It was, those are the correct answers.
At one of the meetings last year, women were told not to talk face-to-face with men.
Sit at an angle.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Sit at an angle.
Don't directly confront men in meetings, because men perceive this as threatening. Women do not.
Bring them a sandwich first.
Meet before or after the meeting instead. If you're having a conversation with a man, cross your legs and sit at an angle to him.
Are you supposed to offer to fetch him coffee, too? Is that part of it?
Oh, I thought you sit on their lap.
With your short skirt. What is going on here?
That makes me analytical and assertive and athletic when you do that.
Wow.
Can you believe this is last year? I think that's the most... I mean, if you rip this from the 50s, we could all have a lot of fun with this and different with a different lens. Like, say, oh, yeah, that's how the way things used to be in the office place, the workplace. But these are very professional women, you know, in a career that you have to have credentials, and it's just a leading firm in America.
Attendees were even told that women's brains were 6 to 11% smaller than men's.
Oh my God.
How far does this go?
They said that the female brains were more like pancakes and the men's brains were like waffles. So they said that like women absorb information like pancakes soak up syrup, so it's hard for them to focus. And that men can focus better because they put things in little squares.
Not with the skin, apparently, though. Just that doesn't work.
Well, you know, like if you pour it, this is something Kevin and I can relate to. If you pour the syrup into the squares of the waffle,
it holds.
It's like a bowl, right? So it's a syrup bowl. See, the problem that you people have,
right,
is
meaning all females.
Yeah, the problem that you have is that the syrup is now just part of you. It's indistinguishable from the rest. I know that I have there's syrup is different than the waffle itself. How about that? Huh? That makes me assertive. I take risks.
It's like an episode of The Office.
This is like out of a Russian troll farm. Plant the story so we all start yelling at each other.
Like Ernst & Young says only 1% or less than 1% of the females executives actually went through this training and that, you know, it's been discontinued.
Really?
But they needed to come out a little stronger than that, I think.
Now, you have to work around the men. Ernst & Young has positioned itself as a company that's enlightened about women, frequently marketing its take on the value of women in business with hashtags like hashtag women fast forward. What the hell does that mean? In a statement to Huffington Post, it said that Ernst & Young has been and remains a highly recognized and award-winning leader in fostering a culture that promotes inclusion and strong sense of belonging for all. We are and remain unrelenting in our effort to continue to set the standard for best-in-class culture and work environment. That's, you know, the only thing they're not doing there is using the term best practices. I love when a company uses that. You know what? We're going to be working on best practices here.
With our stakeholders?
Yes. All of our stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And that includes you, the customer. Oh, my God.
Can you believe this?
The firm has very few women in its higher ranks.
1 in 4 partners.
Shocker.
Yep. There's one woman as a former partner, Ernst & Young, who said she was sexually harassed by a boss and then retaliated against when she complained to her senior partners. She filed a discrimination suit, went to arbitration, got $200,000. But the idea here is that you have to, that, you know, sometimes men, it's not good to confront them directly about their ideas. Because men really believe in their ideas. Honest to God, this is what it said. Really believe in their ideas. And you shouldn't confront them about their ideas because then you're going to make them feel bad. Oh my God.
It's so hard to believe this is part of a training program from last year. That's what it's hard to think that this actually survived in any form.
Well, I just know that I'm on the wrong side of this ledger because I'm affectionate, not really cheerful, but childlike. I use harsh language, so that goes the other way.
Right. I wouldn't say you're gullible.
Yeah. I'm often...
love children?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I don't have to take care of them. I'm very flatterable. I'm loyal. I'm sensitive to the needs of others. I'm not soft-spoken. I'm not all that sympathetic. And that, am I tender? I don't know. I'm squishy. Is that the same as tender?
Sort of, yeah. You might have failed this one too, Rob.
I'm sort of veal. I'm human veal is basically what it is. My mom raised me like veal. I was in a cage until I was 12.
Oh gosh. Stop. Yeah. In your Streeterville condo. Is that a cage?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we just wish everybody at Ernst & Young. Talk about Ernst. I've been needing a crisis PR company to come to your rescue right now.
Seriously. It's just, I mean, I haven't seen any really great response from the company other than it really didn't pass through very many women. Only fewer than 1% of the company went through this training and that they're no longer using it. And that's sort of it.
I mean, I don't. First of all, behavior in a work environment. People who get to be successful in a work environment, they all behave in a corporate way, right? In a responsible way. People who are hotheads or, you know, idiots, or they are inappropriate in some way, shape, or form, they tend to get washed out fairly early on. Except in broadcasting, where that cream rises right to the crop, right to the top. Oh,
Ernst & Young also said it was highly rated amongst the women who took the course. Which I always love that. When you're sort of, you know, asking your employees to rate something that you know your bosses will then go look at to say, let's see how they rated it.
Right. So please rate this and remember your training when you do it.
I like when you have to take those training modules on a computer and you're trying to find a way to cheat it so you can go faster.
Skip ahead somehow or just get through it fast.
Right. And you're like, you just answer everything. But then they trick you.
They do. It's question. Asking the same thing differently.
Right. Four slides ago. And they, oh, damn it, I gotta go back 4 slides.
In the video you just watched.
Oh! I didn't watch the video. Fast forward. Crap! Then you try to guess, you try to intuit. Now, some of these things are like really dumb. Like, when you're in the office, should you French kiss your executive assistant?
Or you're talking about, like, the sex harassment.
You know, or what, any of those things. You know, it's sort of like, you're like, okay, now I know the answer to that. I get it. Okay. There are some things that are super obvious. Should I steal my stapler and take it home with me? I get it. All right. I'm not supposed to do that. But then there's things that are then they get tricky, right? They'll have something that's very nuanced, right? Like, you know, somebody's having a problem at home and wants to discuss a potentially violent situation at home. Should you discuss it with your coworker? And you're like,
where do I go with
right?
that?
It's not really a yes or no. I don't. Do I call the police? Uh-huh. Do I immediately call HR?
But I can't imagine like filling out an exam about is your brain smaller than a man's, and would your short skirt scramble the mind of a male that you might be meeting with? It's like, it is the office to me.
All right. Well, we wish everybody at Ernst & Young the best of luck. Let's talk to Lauren Lapka about what's happening on the roadways. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Kim Gordon's going to give you the news at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Then on the other side, it's News or Ruse, and our friend Jim Peterick is playing News or Ruse.
Nice.
Jim Peterick has naturally purple hair. News or Ruse? We'll find out the answer to that on the other side. You know, well, I think his mom was a redhead.
Okay.
And his dad had blue hair. And so together they ended up with a purple, with purple.
I thought it was red and blue that made purple.
Didn't I just do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But can you be naturally
purple?
Blue?
I don't know. Yes, of course you can. I've seen it. All right. Did you see this? With all of the protesting that's been going on, people have been looking at the signs. There's it's Tribune sent their photographer out to find the funniest signs from the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy was walking around with a Lori likes the Packers sign. Everybody, it's all of a sudden it's college game day out on the line.
She's a huge Bears fan, but that's a big slight. I see what they're doing there.
I mean, I'm surprised there isn't a Lori likes Nickelback. Right. Sorry.
Do they have a crying Michael Jordan meme somewhere up there?
Mm-hmm. And the Washington State flag was flying somewhere over the protest today. I don't know what that was all about. I don't get it. But they have now this is the weird one. They have a picture of some sort of varmint. And it's got a sign around its neck. It's like a guinea pig, like a big guinea pig. Class pet on strike. With the thing around his right. I'm like, all right. Now that's animal abuse right there. Person does not understand that it's on strike.
Classic teacher joke.
Very creative.
And quite honestly, don't you think the guinea pig is really happy not to have those kids around?
Yeah, maybe. I can't imagine that the pets in the classroom really love all the kids.
There's
got to be one or two that do not behave correctly.
Right. There's one kid with sticky fingers that's going and poking this hedgehog or whatever the hell it is in the side and like leaving it's in the hedgehog can't get clean again because it's like it's poking in that one place like on its back. It's like, oh my God, oh, there's something sticky back there.
They can't get to that.
I can't get to that. Oh God. And then when the kids aren't there, like, oh, this is like the best. What happened here? I can't believe the kids aren't showing up. Be very upset when the strike is over. The class pets. And then there's this one, which I don't quite get. This woman holding a sign that says, it's a quote from Bumble, from the app Bumble.
Okay.
That says, so you're an elementary teacher, huh? That's adorable. It must be so much fun. I want to date someone like a teacher that can even me out since I'm constantly traveling and my job is so demanding. High stress.
That's an awful poster.
I know. Terrible. It's the worst. All right, we got news in 2 minutes.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Duffy. We are playing with esteemed musical genius.
Who?
Jim Peterink, if you want to play News or Ruse.
I do.
Thank you. Hold on 1 second, Jim. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Anna, I don't know if you noticed this.
Yes.
When the producer was setting him up in here, when Jeff Carlin, their great producer, was getting Jim Peterick, legendary rock and roll star, writer, producer.
Yes.
For the, yes, for the last century. Here is Jim Peterick says to the producer, he goes, all right, now you're going to get ready for the game, right? Because we've been talking about you playing News or Ruse this in, you know, for 2 weeks now. and then Jim turns and goes, what game?
Oh,
man.
What are you talking
about?
It's
not like the highlight of his entire life or anything. He's
but,
you know.
My wife would have known.
He agreed to do it.
She heard you talking about the show already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, so we, and so let me, thanks for listening.
I was
Jim.
In the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I always say too.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's what's happening. On Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Genesee Theater in Waukegan. What a beautiful theater that is.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The best.
It is.
It is the 55th anniversary of the Ides of March. 55 years old. I would not, for me, if it were me, I would not be marketing that.
Oh, come on.
But that's...
Why not be proud of that? That's huge. How many people can say that?
I would
They're
say...
dead, usually.
35 plus 20. Right, exactly.
Especially that's in the rock and roll community. Let's be honest.
It's been 55 years, but I'm dead.
So the 55th anniversary, and this is not just the Ides of March, my friends. Special guest, Mark Farner.
Grand Funk Band.
Grand Funk Railroad. Yeah. I love Grand Funk Railroad.
At one time, they were the biggest band in the world. They sold out Shea Stadium faster than the Beatles. True story.
The Locomotion, Some Kind of Wonderful. Oh, isn't that what a great song that is.
Did you know there's only a bass and drums in that whole song? There's no guitar.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's and Mark, of course.
That?
Mark's a force of nature.
Bo Bice is going to be there.
What goes up? He spent like 10 years in Blood, Sweat, and Tears and just tore it up. We're going to be doing some Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Of course, Vehicle, that he sang to the top of the charts after American Idol.
Now, Vehicle has charted. It charted when it came out with you.
Right.
In 1970.
70, you're right.
Right. And then it charted again with Bo Bice in 2004, 5?
5. Yep. Number one again.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And you cannot turn on a television.
No, you cannot.
Not turn on a television. You cannot
listen to a radio
for an hour of television or listening without
podcast,
hearing
anything.
Hearing Vehicle.
I know. It's crazy. God bless Acura.
Yeah, they just redid it, right? They just bought you again.
I know.
You got to.
Oh.
I mean, that was
obvious.
Man.
They're not going to buy me one. That, you know, come on.
That is it is amazing how...
It was just this little ditty I made up to win back Karen, you know?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that backstory.
It's true, because I had to drive her everywhere, but I wasn't getting any action from her, because she had already dumped me, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because he said things like that, because he said I wasn't getting any action from you, and then and then it was like...
Oh.
And you
women
know,
don't like that.
I got to say...
I know.
That
soften it up a little.
Okay. His wife, Karen... is one of the most smart, beautiful, gentle human beings I have ever met.
Oh, my God.
And I have no idea what she is doing with him.
I think she's the brains
gentle.
Of the operation.
He's gentle, and he's an amazing musician, obviously. He wrote one of the great earworms of all times, if not the greatest earworm of all times. But, you know, I mean, like, he shows up, and... There's like a question. Who's doing the checks in that house? Who's
Karen Peters.
See, oh, I knew it.
I've never wrote a check in my life. All I can say, Ro and Anna, is she's got a good sense of humor.
Got to.
You know, and, right?
Yeah.
You know, she liked my sense of humor, and but she thinks I'm a total, you know, inept, adorable, incompetent.
Yeah.
It works on you.
Little boy
charm. Does she like the purple hair?
She loves it.
She does, okay.
She loves it, yep.
I was saying that you're naturally purple because your mom was a redhead and your dad was a blue head, right?
Blue head.
My mom was the blue hair, actually.
Oh, she was?
Oh,
all right.
See, there I know it works.
Oh, that's sweet.
You know, your line about prematurely purple, we use it every night.
Yeah.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, there's royalties on that, too.
No!
All right, here, listen to this. I am hosting this thing on Saturday night at the Genesee Theater.
Are you just finding that out? You sounded surprised. Look, I'm reading this from my producer notes.
Right.
What? I am hosting.
What's going on?
I also should mention Kathy Richardson is going to be there. Kathy Richardson is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
she is with Starship.
Best.
She's with Jefferson Starship now.
Yep.
She has basically replaced one of the most iconic voices in rock and roll.
Yeah. And Grace Slick, handed her the baton and said, "You're the new me." You know, and it's like official. So cool.
So do not miss a show. It is going to be a blowout show up in Waukegan Saturday night. Tickets at GenesseeTheater.com or theidesofmarch.com, not .com. And here's what we're playing for on News or Ruse. You ready?
Ready.
Winners get a $75 gift certificate from Green Tea Services for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, carpet cleaning. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or go to GreenTeaServices.com. And a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate goes to everybody, home of the best deep dish pizza, 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. And everybody is also getting a pair of tickets to this show on Saturday night.
Woo!
Yep, yep. And we're going to name check you and make you famous.
Yeah, that's exactly
sort of.
Sorry. Oh, that's really not true.
No.
All right, here we go. I know he has no idea what this game is. You'll go third, though. All right, so that you'll be able to follow along.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's get started here. We start now with Kathy and Kim. Kathy, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Okay, here is your headline. Is this news or do we make it up? Is it a ruse? Florida man accused of enticing alligator to bite him, pouring beer in its mouth.
I believe it. Florida.
News.
Beer.
News? Yeah.
Nicely done. All right, Doug and Lauren, here's your headline. Farmers have the most sex and rate their performance as incredible, study says. Oh, my.
That sounds like it would be logical because with the number of kids they have.
I like it, Doug.
I mean, you know, it's just the way it is.
It's logical.
We grew up in a farm family, so we know what's like.
Yeah, well, there you go.
How are you, Doug? Pretty good, Doug. All right.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Hey, by the way, Jim.
Yeah, babe.
Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, just to interject real quickly, I met you years ago when I was working for United Audio in Oak Brook, and your kid was doing some incredible tricks with a yo-yo.
Oh, man, that's Colin. Yeah, he was pretty good with that sucker.
Yeah,
now he's like an award-winning producer and writer and all of that. That kid grew up to be something.
Yeah, but he's still got that yo-yo.
All right, hold on.
News?
Sir, concentrate on your...
he's trying to throw him off.
Yes.
It's a little strategic.
Farmers,
thing.
Is it news or ruse?
I have to say news.
Going with that, Lauren?
Yes.
Yeah. How about you, Lauren?
Yes. You got
United Audio lives.
Yeah. Yeah, here we go. Debbie and Jimbo, here's your headline. Sexy crab tops list of Louisiana's most searched Halloween costumes.
Ruse.
I'm going to go Ruse.
How about
way
that?
To call it out.
Sniffed it out.
I was, yeah.
Purple hair and all.
Could happen.
Here we go. We continue on.
Kathy and Kim, round two. Hundreds lose their driver's licenses during Oktoberfest e-scooter mayhem.
E-scooter.
Oh.
I would say news.
I think it's news, too.
Yes.
It is indeed.
All right, Doug and Lauren, here you go. Male cat needs glucose drip after mating with 5 females in one night.
Ruse. That's got to be ruse.
Okay.
Oh, man. Oh,
only farmers get to get it on.
That's right.
The male cat.
All right, here we go.
This is sad.
Debbie and Jimbo.
Yeah, babe.
guinea pig ice cream a hit at Ecuadorian vendor's food stall. Ew.
Oh,
guinea pig ice cream.
I say, Roos.
Oh, you got to get together.
Wait.
Oh, I'm going to go news.
You can agree with her. It doesn't matter.
No, it's a ruse.
You're saying it's a ruse.
Yeah.
All right, but you're saying it's a ruse. And are you gonna? All right. I guess the
I'll
real.
Go with him.
All right. Well, that was a terrible mistake.
No, that's, you reversed her. Yeah.
Never follow an.
Why would you do that? Now you can go to the show. I want you. This is the thing. Here's what I want you to do, Debbie. On Saturday night, when you go to this show, I want you to get up in the middle of the show and start screaming at him that he screwed up the second question on News and Roos.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the guinea pig girl.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's a song. You could write that song, guinea pig girl.
I'm your guinea pig girl. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your guinea pig girl. By now I'm sure you know that I love you. Oink. Come on.
Something there.
Lauren has the WGN traffic before we move any further here. Oh, dear God.
Radio Chicago, this is AM 720.
WGN. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
We're playing News or Ruse with musical legend. What's his name?
Guinea Pig.
Yeah, Guinea Pig.
I feel so bad about that.
This is... Wait, you know what? Don't do callbacks because nobody understands what the hell's going on here. Jim Peterik is with us. Ides of March has a 55th anniversary show on Saturday night at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan, one of the most beautiful theaters in the Midwest, without question.
True.
It's a stone's throw to the Jack Benny statue. And there is going to be an amazing card that you're going to see. Not only is it the Ides of March, but Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad is going to be there. Bo Bice, of course, from American Idol. Kathy Richardson, who is she's now with Jefferson Starship.
Yep.
She's the new Grace Slick. Grace Slick anointed her as Grace Slick 2.
Yep.
She is amazing. And I'm going to be there.
Yeah, well, you're the main star. You know, and you're going to sing lead on something.
Oh, God.
What would you like to do?
I have a triangle. I play a mean triangle.
How about cowbell?
Cowbell, yeah.
Okay, you can play on Esk Farner. You can do, we're an American band, you know, with the cowbell.
Oh, yeah, sure, the cowbell. It's one of the best cowbell songs of all time.
Totally.
Yeah.
You got good
rhythm? I'll ask Farner, and Farner will go, no. I don't think so. No. I'm sorry. We don't let amateurs on stage.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, the Ides of March have a new album out, the 55th anniversary album, Play On, which has got some originals on it, including one you do with Farner, right?
Yeah, Swagger. It's got a video out, and it's doing real well.
All right. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. Here we are. We are continuing on with News or Ruse, and currently, Kathy and Kim have a lead of 2 right. So right now we're going to Doug and Lauren because they have 1 right, and also Debbie and Jim Peterik have 1 right as well. So we start with you, Doug and Lauren. Here is your headline as read by Radio Hall of Famer Orion Samuelson.
Possession charge against Georgia's Southern quarterback dropped after discovery that bird poop wasn't cocaine.
Woo. Oh, I think that's news.
Whoa. Do you think that's Ruse?
News.
Almost sounds like it's news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds weird enough to be news.
All right, there we go.
You got it.
Back in the game.
Back in it.
All right,
Debbie and Jim, here is your headline. If you get this wrong, you're out.
Debbie, you be the leading dog, okay?
Okay.
Judge tells man who threw iguana at fellow manager to stop bragging about it.
Debbie, what do you think?
Oh.
Okay. All right. That's somebody's real cuckoo clock right there. That is. I don't know who's. Really? Is that your. That, Debbie, that's got to be your cuckoo clock.
It's Kathy. That's mine.
It's Kathy's cuckoo
that's
clock.
Hilarious.
All right. Okay. All
we
right.
know a lot about Kathy right now.
Yeah, we do. I think we do.
We're just
all right.
Something.
Okay, so go ahead. What did you. Is that news or ruse?
I said ruse.
You think that's ruse?
I think it's news.
You think it's news?
All right. I'll go with them again. Oh. News.
Hey. Redemption.
Yeah, you did the right
Very
thing there.
Very nice.
All right, stick with me.
This is for the win, Kathy and Kim.
All righty,
Wayne
here we go.
Wayne Newton right, sued Kim. Over a monkey biting a girl visiting his home.
What do you think, Kathy? I think Wayne Newton could possibly have a monkey.
Wayne Newton. I would say Bruce.
Bruce? Okay. I'll go with you.
Oh, it's all tied up. Here we go. There's a lightning round. We go back to you, Kathy and Kim. Back to back here. Rogue Swan with rubber band obsession causes panic at Tallahassee Playground.
What's with all the animals? I'm thinking news.
First thing, I didn't hear the first part.
Rogue Swan.
That new band, isn't it? Heavy metal.
Rogue Swan.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yes?
News or Ruse? News, Kathy.
Say the whole thing.
Rogue Swan with rubber band obsession causes panic at Tallahassee Playground. Need an answer.
News.
Oh, that's too bad. Doug, Lauren, here's the headline. Loose sled dog team leads police on low-speed chase. Oh, boy.
News or Ruse?
I could see that being news. What do you think?
I'll go with you, Lauren.
News?
Pick one.
I'll go news.
You got
it. All right, there you go. And Debbie and Jim, Italian chef arrested on drug charges, claimed he was researching new flavors.
Oh, news.
News.
Yes! News is a tie!
Oh!
It's a tie!
It's a tie!
I win tickets.
You win tickets to your own show.
You get
it.
To be there. Right. Oh, wait, you're already going.
Oh.
Huh.
I'll forfeit my tickets.
All right. Congratulations. Everybody's going to get taken care of here by our producers right now.
Congrats to everybody.
It is 6:30, time for the news. Jim Peterick is in the studio with us. Adam Hogue is on the Super Celebrity Satellite with us. And we're going to somehow mix music and the Bears together. Jim, do you know anything particularly depressing that you would like to share with us?
Like about the Bears?
Perhaps? No, like a musical thing that's particularly depressing.
Let's see. And I walk along and I wonder what went wrong.
That works.
And all of, you know, that
lot of wonder.
Minor key.
That's perfect because we're all wondering what went wrong with the Chicago Bears.
I knew that.
Adam Hogue, what went wrong with the Chicago Bears?
Oh, a lot. That's a good theme song for Mitchell Trubisky right now, though.
So he spoke today at Hallis Hall, Adam. You've been covering him now for a few years. You had a chance to talk to him, body language, etc. Like, what have you seen from Mitch today? What did you gather from the way he collected himself and the way he delivered?
Yeah, he was a little bit different today, though, in his press conference. He seemed a little bit short and, you know, somewhat perturbed. I don't know if that's in his
prickly?
Own play. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, a little prickly. Got something for prickly, Jim?
No, that's too dirty.
Okay.
I didn't hate it, though. You know, it kind of seemed like I've been saying for a few weeks now, like, this guy just needs to go out there and play angry. So if he's angry, let's see what it looks like.
I saw what incompetent looks like.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been some really embarrassing breakdowns of some plays from Mitch Trubisky over the past couple days here that are just eye-opening. Stuff that looks like the most basic of basic RPO stuff, whatever you want to call it, the gist of what the Bears are running, and it's a very bad look for Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, he made some very basic mistakes in this game. It, you know, just from the obvious, you know, you got to hit a wide open receiver to, you know, the whole point of the run pass option is that it's a very simple read for the quarterback to that makes the defense wrong, and he couldn't handle that and took a sack in a situation where the Bears were about to get in the red zone, so it, you know, stalled a drive that could have been a touchdown. So it's you could tell hearing Matt Nagy talk this week. That it's stuff that just has the head coach a little annoyed, and it should.
All right. Is there any hope? Because the L.A. Chargers coming into town, they're as much of a disappointment as the Bears are this season.
Right.
For L.A. They were one of the top teams in the NFL last year, and it's fallen apart for them. And they've got Cody. No, they don't have Cody Parkey.
The Tennessee Titans
have Cody Parkey. But they've got they still have Phillip Rivers, though, right?
Yeah.
So our defense still has to figure that out.
Yeah, and I haven't really decided where I'm going to go on this game yet, but this sort of feels like one of those games where you just want to side with whoever has the better quarterback. Because you're right, both of these teams have a lot of talent on their team, and they're both underachieving at this point. So I think that right now it's kind of hard to go with the Bears with what you saw offensively last week. Until Matt Nagy commits to running the football, It's tough right now as we sit here on Wednesday. I'm having a hard time making an argument for the Bears to win.
Well, that was the big quote, I think, that stood out. I'm not an idiot. I know we need to run the ball more, that Matt Nagy said post-game. And I think that's what fans were like, yes, yes. He's the guy who calls the plays, though, right?
Yeah, and we talked about this all offseason. And they used their it was their third-round pick, but it was their first pick they had in the draft on a running back. So, you know, their moves in the offseason, trading Jordan Howard, even said, hey, we need to figure out this running game. We got to get it going. And we're six games in, and it's gotten worse. It doesn't make sense.
You know, I've been extremely patient with Mitch Trubisky's development, but that was the game on Sunday where I was really just kind of ready to throw the towel in when it comes to Mitch Trubisky.
Kevin has turned.
We were at the Blackhawks game last night, and the first intermission, the in-game reporter's talking to this little kid, and she asked him, well, what are you going to dress up for Halloween? He says, a football player. She goes, well, which football player? He goes, Mitch Trubisky. And 20,000 fans showered him with booze. I felt horrible for the kid, but I think the United Center erupted with booze, the poor kid. But I think it's just like everybody is just like, not again. He was the hope. He was the guy we thought would be a legit NFL quarterback, and everyone is just so fed up with
it. I think we should a champion Mitch instead of trying to put him down. Something like Mitch, 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 Trubisky, Mitch, Mitch, Mitch. Come on, get behind him.
We need to get Hallis Hall, Jim, to get a little tune.
That could help.
Stay
that
behind
him.
All right, I got it. All right, now.
Stand by your Mitch.
Hogue, you got this worked out.
He'd like that.
You got to tell somebody on the team that, listen, we're going to have Jim Peterik stand behind him and play the guitar.
Yeah.
It's just so he can play to a soundtrack in practice.
Yeah. I'm going to be motivating him, man.
You know what's funny? I can't see Jim right now, but he's got a little bit of Ed Obradovich in his voice.
Who's that?
And I'm hearing like OB singing right now.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Trubisky.
They're from the same part of the world.
Berwyn?
Well, you're from Berwyn. Yeah. He's from Hillside.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. He's the next door neighbor.
No wonder he sounds like that.
He's from Hillside, and he's got that. There is a very specific Western, you know, near Western suburb accent in Chicago.
Yeah.
These guys all got it. But it's not like, you know, it's not a Southside accent. And it's not a Northside accent, you know, which where you have to have your pinky out like I do. But it's it's very, you got to, it's the way that the T and the D kind of come together. And they don't exactly, they're indecipherable at
now
times.
Now I'm like really self-conscious.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah.
You should be. All right. Is there any hope for change, Adam Hogue?
Well, there is, in the fact that it can't get any worse than it was on Sunday.
All right, then. That's not hope for change.
No, but it is, because if you're at this point and you are Matt Nagy, what other choice do you have than to just say, you know what, I'm going to actually hand the ball off even when it's not working and continue to run the football and make things easier on Mitch Trubisky? And if you're Mitch Trubisky, what other choice do you have right now than to just go out there and play?
Why? Why do we have to make it easy for him? I mean, why do we have to dumb this thing down? Why do we have to treat him like a fourth grader?
Because unfortunately, he clearly is not seeing the field the way he should for an NFL quarterback. And, you know, for some quarterbacks who just don't get it, that's what you have to do.
All right. Did not help.
Seven carries on Sunday. That was a franchise low. Over, under, Adam Hogue set it for Sunday. How many rushing attempts for the Chicago Bears?
For the whole team?
Yeah, let's just go whole team. Because it was seven total for the whole team on Sunday.
Well, let me say this. It better be at least 20. So let's put it there. Do you believe in it getting to 20? I'm going to say yes, given all the circumstances. I don't really know why, because I would have said that last week, too.
I'm still going with the under.
I'm still going under, too, like 17, 18 carries or something.
He's going to start to lose this fan base, though.
It's crazy. Like, it was sunshine and rainbows for the past year and a half, Adam, and things have turned quickly in a matter of 2 weeks.
Like, if they come out and they only run the ball 10 times on Sunday, he's already starting to lose his fan base. Everyone wants him to stop calling the plays, which he did say today, by the way. He did confirm Matt Nagy's going to call the plays on Sunday, which was sort of a question mark. But it's bad.
All right.
Boy, I'm so depressed.
I know we're bringing Jim down. Can you bring us back up, Jim?
I was happy.
You were when you came bouncing in here. Hey, guys. Yeah. Now what's going on? Nice weather.
Kind of suicidal. Night.
How quickly the Bears conversation has changed in such a short period.
Can we get Bill Belichick to call the plays? Is there a way to have him do that?
Can we get Tom Brady?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Adam Hogue.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
What, now, does he get his own song?
Hogue. Hogue, Hogue, Hogue. Doesn't sing. Sorry, Adam.
Sounds like the Mitch song.
Yeah, really. Well,
similar, but see, this is Hogue. That's, I never mind.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. It's different.
You know, the thing is, I used to, he would, every time we've ever done a show together, and we're about to do this one on Saturday together,
Christmas.
Your 55th anniversary, and then we got a Christmas show coming up.
Right.
We haven't announced it yet, but you just did. Thanks very much for blowing it. That's really nice. Anyway,
no Christmas show.
When we've done this, and we've done 20 shows together over the years, at least. And he started doing Eye of the Tiger, you know, like row, 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 row. And I thought, oh, this is great. Uh-huh. This is like, oh, I can't believe it. And then I was at some other radio remote. It was like, Eric, you know. Oh, and it's like, oh, come on.
He does this for everyone.
You're
not special.
You made me feel like a slut.
Oh, man. I only have like 25 people I do that for.
It's his go-to.
Yeah, really. So you're great. Yeah. You're in there.
Yeah, I'm in there. Okay, good. I feel so much less better about that.
Yeah, but.
All right, Adam. You are 26 now, so congratulations on
thanks.
That.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
I'm honored.
All right.
Honored.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk to Mr. Peterick again and maybe hear something here. You're going to make it entire. Powell.
That doesn't work.
No, that doesn't work.
I'm sorry.
So what could you do with Kevin Powell? Think about it.
Okay. Let me chew on it.
All right. Yes.
Enter my seat.
Yeah. All right. Ides of March are going to be in Waukegan, the Genesee Theater, on Saturday, 8 o'clock show. It's not just the Ides of March. It's Mark Farner, Bo Bice, Kathy Richardson.
Oh, and one thing I didn't mention, Ann Harris, the amazing fiddle player that Kathy uses a lot. She's
I love the fiddle.
Too. And she's amazing. She's like you'll love her.
You know, Anna plays the fiddle.
I do.
Come on.
You should solicit my talent.
Are you kidding?
Except I only play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star now.
I'm going to call this girl and take her off the show.
Oh, yeah.
Should I?
Not time for that yet. You got to hear me first.
Yeah. Right. No, we have Anna.
We actually
her
have
last,
a
her
bit
last
of that.
Live performance.
Is I actually she what I lacked in talent, I made up for with enthusiasm.
And body language.
And body language.
Comeback tours are big now, Anna. This is your chance for a comeback tour.
I was in the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra at one point. At one point, I did know how to play the violin, but it turns out as an adult, you don't remember everything. You know, they say you just get back on the bike. I just didn't get back on the bike.
That's amazing.
Is this it?
Yeah.
This is it. Flat there.
Could you use this? This is her demo tape.
Yeah. But what are you feeling from that, Jim? Anything that could work?
I would say give up.
I kind of did. I kind of already took that advice.
I think you need to work.
Yeah, I got to practice a little more.
Get serious. Yeah.
That was a Chicago restaurant legendary institution. And they closed it immediately after that.
That's not fair.
48 hours later.
We went there because they were closing.
Windows were boarded up.
That's your story.
Right. Literally.
That's what I'm going with.
Wrecking balls, swinging.
Well, we're closing a little early.
We have got to take the...
Why did all the people leave? I thought this was one more day.
I think the frequency of the violin just toppled the whole place.
All right, don't anybody move. We'll be back with Jim Peterick. Don't miss it. If you would like tickets to this show, did I mention the Genesee Theater? Go to genesetheater.com or theidesofmarch.com.
That's it.
Right?
Yep.
If you want to take us on Saturday night, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Can I say one thing? Mm-hmm. There's a couple of bogus sites that are scalping the tickets for like, you know, 50 to 100. If you can't pay more than 35 or 55. Anything more than that, someone's scalping you. So be careful with that.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you for the warning. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're like the Better Business Bureau now. I like that.
Well, it's my own business.
The tip-off to the rip-off.
Yeah, that's my own business. Right. Hey, who are you asking? Because you know what? Like, Jim is like an affable guy, right?
Yeah, he is. Like, you trust him, right? You believe what he says.
Like, he's a rock star ragdoll, right? He's like that guy. And then backstage,
where's my money? I wonder where the money is.
Where's our free calculator?
You're going to pay me in singles, so I know I'm not getting ripped off.
I'm still on the Rockstar Ragdoll thing.
I love it.
All right, hold on 1 second. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapka, last report of the afternoon. We're back. Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right before we hand it over to Extension 720, starring our friend Justin Rosenzweig.
Justin Kaufman.
Kaufman.
Still is Kaufman. Justin Kaufman.
That's right. I knew I had that right. All right. Jim Peterik is in the studio with us. Ides of March 55th anniversary concert is Saturday night at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. I'm hosting this thing, which was a terrible mistake on your part.
It's great, man. I'm so honored to have you, man. Seriously.
Okay. Although they did put together a very nice press release, and they referred to me as a legend in the press release. And I read it, and I'm like... Who wrote this crap?
That's nice.
But
own it, baby.
Mark Farner is going to be in this show, Grand Funk Railroad. If you love Grand Funk Railroad, you are an American band,
who doesn't love Grand Funk and Mark Farner? Come on.
Also, you're going to have Kathy Richardson, who is one of the greatest female voices in rock and roll right now.
She's incredible.
A force of nature, and I'm not bragging, but I discovered her.
Yes, you are bragging, but yes, you did discover her. Bice, you did not discover her. America discovered Bo Bice, and then he made your song number one again on the radio. Yeah.
That worked out for everybody, didn't it?
I know. I love Bo. He's just a great, great guy, he comes across so genuine on stage. It's so cool.
Now, we were asking you to come up with songs for all the people on the show there.
Yeah,
and you just keep doing the same one over and over again. Well, do you have one for Kevin?
I have a couple. The first one, it's a little iffy, you know, because, what do you call it, FDA or the laws about
profanity? FCC?
That too, yeah. But Kevin.
Which one?
I'm in Kevin, and I'm so excited I can barely speak. Is that wrong? Is it wrong?
I thought it was beautiful.
It's so wrong, it's right.
And then this one I like even better. I know Kevin is a place on earth. I know Kevin is a place on earth. That's for you,
Kevin. I love it. Thank you, Jim. Woo! Very good.
You owe me, brother.
I kind of liked I'm in Kevin. That's really something right there. Oh, dear God.
Oh, man.
Lauren, thank God you're not part of this.
Yes,
that's all I want to say.
Stay away.
Yeah, stay as far away. Run! Oh. Run! Run! They're in there. He's playing the guitar from inside the house! All right.
Don't say you're going to be right back.
The Genesee Theater on Saturday night. Please do not miss this. It's the Ides of March with special guests Mark Farner, Bo Bice, Kathy Richardson, and...
Ides of March.
Who? Your fiddle player.
Oh, yeah. Ann Harris.
Ann Harris.
Tremendous. Oh, so can I be backup just in case she can't show up? You know, that kind of thing?
Talk to my agent.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to your wife. She sounds more. Yeah,
she's lovely, but she will also say to you,
say no,
thank you. Yeah.
Well, she heard you just now.
Well.
And that's a, yeah.
She seems like a reasonable person.
She does listen all the time.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Yeah, thank God. She's still with me after all these years, unlike her husband.
Oh, man.
All right.
I missed one show.
This is... And we have a major announcement that we're going to be making, too. I just would like to point out.
At the show.
Yeah. We'll make a major announcement at that show about the thing that you already made an announcement about, which you're not supposed to make an announcement about.
Well, I lied.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Not that you mentioned a Christmas show that we might be doing. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.